listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Now you don't want to see me angry. Ain't enough cops or cuffs to chain me. Days to arraign me. KKs to hang me. Insane me. You need ice picks to bang me. Need more than a straitjacket to restrain me. Or more guns with prints for you to frame me. And maim me. Nigga, look at what you did to us. Uh-huh. My guns don't fuss. Harlem, you don't win with thrust. Uh-huh.
Hey! Welcome to the Black Guy Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
And we're in the house on a Sunday morning. Daylight saving time?
Yes.
That's right. You woke up.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Are we on time or am I messing up? What's happening? No.
You know, like technically, I feel like it's actually an hour later, supposedly. So it's really like 11 now. So we all like an hour late, but you know,
it ain't just me. That's what I'm saying. It ain't just me.
Yeah, it ain't. It's everybody's late today. Everybody's late. But yeah, man, it's a daylight saving time. It's also like week 8 of the NFL. Mm-hmm. You know, think they got a game going on right now in London. So I hope you got your starters set up already, guys, on fantasy football.
I wish they stopped that bullshit. Who the fuck is getting up at 6 a.m.?
Hope you ain't getting no surprises just now. You know, sitting there like, goddamn, who is this? But then also, man, we got, one of the favorite guests of the show, comedian Mike Brown. You might know him on Twitter at Yo Mike Brown. Of course, half a Comedy Outliers. You know, it's also a great show they put on every month and a great podcast that comes out just about every week. You also got, my favorite thing now is the brand new web series, Can't Stop, Won't Stop, which you guys can find at can'tstopshow.com. Hey man, this joint is brilliant, dude. It's amazing. I love it.
Oh, thank you. You know what? It's like, you know, when you're doing comedy and on Twitter, like everybody does comedy, like a lot of us do comedy, whatever. It was like, you needed to have something else. So I wrote something and I was tired of not seeing, myself on screen for one and just not a diverse, funny show anymore. Like I was a big fan of the Boondocks. And once they took that off, I was like, okay, I need something. And then I just started writing it and, you know, I'm happy y'all like it. I like sending it to you guys. As long as I get something from Karen and be like, ha ha, that's it, stupid. I'm like, great, we did it.
Yeah, man. You know, like when I see it, I try to make sure to spread it around to, you know, our audience too. Yeah. You know, we have like a Facebook group and all that stuff, and everybody always, you know, loves it. And then they, you know, I encourage them like, hey man, throw a thumbs up, give it a comment. You know, let people know that you appreciate their stuff, because one thing I think people don't really grasp yet is independent artists and people that are making independent content. A lot of times the only feedback you have is directly from the audience. There's no, you know, there's no studio. There's no producer. There's no, you know, focus groups.
Right. Nobody going to get the numbers on your behalf.
Right. So, you know, you know, when you see, you know, I got some thumbs up. I got a couple comments under my YouTube video. I got, you know, someone shared this on Facebook, and then I saw the people under there being like, yo, I love this. Like, that shit matters, so make sure you do that to people.
We try to do that to everybody that we love and enjoy their content. And one thing I can say, you guys, is when you watch it several times, because on the low, it's some jokes that if you're not really paying attention, you'll miss them the first time. And then you go back and listen, you'll be like, oh, shit, that's why they responded like that. Or, oh, shit. Yeah. That's what happened. They're really great.
Yeah, well, Karen misses a lot of stuff, because when Karen watches things, this is how Karen watches something, right? All right, so like we'll be watching something funny, and say we're watching Can't Stop, Won't Stop, and a dude will be like, I'm gonna put gravy on that ass, and then Karen will be like, oh, he gonna put gravy on that ass. But it'd be like another two jokes.
I'm missing all the other jokes.
Yes, so Karen gotta rewatch it.
It's not because it's not funny. It's I'm too busy laughing at the first punchline, and I missed three other ones.
Yeah, I mean, they're all so short. They're like 2 minutes, two minutes, 30 seconds. Nothing's over 3 minutes, so we pack everything in there. We make it real quick, real good. You know, it's not going to mess up your day. Everybody has 2 minutes, 2-3 minutes to spare. You know, just watch. It's cool.
And how was that decision arrived to get it, like, that short, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure you have to cut things and, you know, tighten up ideas. Like, how do you come to that, conclusion?
Well, Well, you know what? Because I realized I feel like I'm aged out of comedy, yo. Like everybody's on the Vine 6 seconds. Like, I gotta be funny 6 seconds. That's it. Or you're on Instagram 15 seconds. That's it. And I'm like, all right, me. I come from that school of remember like when they used to have Fresh Prince on TV, Martin on TV, and you had 30 minutes to really do something dope. I was like, all right, so if I got to go online, it has to be short. So I would think of all my ideas. I'd write my scripts and I cut out everything like I didn't need and then really look at what I wanted to do. Watched a lot of Black-ish and I was like, okay, what are they talking about and what haven't they talked about? Cause I want what I'm talking about not to be done before, you know? And that's how I did it. Just made it real short, real quick. I want it to be good and short, you know? Kind of like love making, you know what I'm saying? Just good, good and short.
Exactly.
You know?
Straight to the point. In and out, girl. Straight I'm in and point. Out.
It's like black porn scene. No foreplay, no oral, just straight
no
humping.
No pizza was ordered, nothing. Right. ain't offering no ride or nothing. Ain't no confusion of a cab.
Ain't no Uber coming. Mm-mm.
The camera just turned on in the middle of sex. You like, what, was there anything that happened before this?
Like, nah, girl, that shit don't even matter. And one thing I can say that I really enjoy about the videos, they're reasonable. It is just one of those things where it's presented in a funny manner, but I was like, that shit is very reasonable and I would probably respond like that. Yes, I completely understand. Here's a card, girl. Let's be reasonable.
Yeah. Let's be reasonable with this whole situation.
I'm an adult. I'm not going to fight nobody in the middle of the goddamn street.
My whole thing is like, I also want to make sure I had a character. I want to make like, Maurice, he plays Tamika in the episodes. I want to make sure that she wasn't, she was a strong black woman, but she wasn't like an angry black woman. Right. You know what I mean? Like, I just wanted to make someone who was like real, but when she got harassed and she wasn't like too upset about it, because I think it still went the same way if she was upset from the beginning. You know what I mean? But it was like, if you make her kind of not too not upset about it, cause like some women just, not that they don't care, but just like, man, whatever, get out of here. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to show that, too. I wanted to show all these different, like, avenues of it that you haven't seen before. So,
right.
I hope it's good. People fucking with it, so I'm happy about it.
Yeah, right.
And I appreciate that, because as a black woman, we're very diverse. I'm sorry, babe. We're very diverse. And particularly for a man to kind of be all jokes aside considerate on how he's portraying a black woman, especially the way you see social media and stuff. You know, as a black woman, it'll make you think, damn, niggas ain't shit. But then you'd be like, nah, there are people that actually do care about us and care how we're portrayed.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is, like, it takes the stereotypes and kind of spins it on its head.
Right.
You know, like in episode one where the white dude was playing basketball, he called you nigga. And like, I love the part where the black people just suddenly show up during this awkward moment.
Out of the blue.
And they're like,
they got the cue.
And they're like, so you let him say the N-word. Okay, cool. Well, now you don't get to say it anymore. Like, he could keep saying it, but you lost your privileges. And they give you like a list of approved words, man. That was so fucking good. It was like, it's that kind of twist that's just made it, you know what I'm saying? It went from like, oh, this is funny to like, oh shit, this is some next level subversive shit, man.
Right.
Man, I appreciate it. And that was something I was trying to do on stage. I remember I had came up with that idea and I tried to do the joke at a few Decepticomic shows and that shit would never work. It would never work. Niggas look at you and say, well, we can't say what night. It was just like, it was never working. So I was like, all right, we just going to write this as a sketch. Send it to people so they can catch it. Catch what I'm talking about.
Man, I want to, I'm going to actually play some of episode two. Now, this is just the audio, but I think you can still catch all the jokes with it. And we'll kind of break it down. Like, we do this, with my man JL sometimes too.
So we're gonna break down your video.
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out to JL, man. Get bars. Oh.
Sometimes it's a little dangerous sometimes to get rough, but don't worry. Gotcha. I'll keep you safe.
Now, Mike.
Not that bad.
Mike is walking down. Now, actually, what's the character in the actual series is Sean, right?
Sean Christopher Jones. Yeah.
All right. How'd you come up with Sean, man? Is that like a name you always wanted?
That was a name I used to give women in the clubs when I wanted them to know who I was. Throw out Sean so they don't bother you. You know what I mean? I've been fucking that nigga Sean. Okay. Well, I'm with Mike now. You know, whatever. So you start out. But it's also, and season two we'll get deeper into it. But Sean is a hip hop blogger. And I made his name off of three of my favorite rappers from the East. It's Sean Carter, Christopher Wallace, and Nasir Jones. So I just put all those names together.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That's cool, man. I wonder if I play it in here if people can see me play it, or I don't know how this works. I'm gonna try this for the first time.
I don't know, and I know it's a way to do that.
Oh.
Is it moving on your screen, Dan?
No. I know it's a way to do that.
Well, they'll hear the audio. They can play it on their own.
Sometimes it gets rough, but don't worry. Gotcha. Keep you safe.
Turn it up a little bit.
So Sean is walking with his girl and, you know, telling her how he's going to keep her safe on these streets, right? Mm-hmm. Now, we all know about the campaign for, like, your cases.
Right.
And anti-street harassment and stuff. So as y'all, you know, as it always comes a time in a man's life where that's gonna be tested.
Uptown is not that bad.
God damn, what that booty do?
Seriously?
Now this brother,
he come out the blue.
Who is this brother?
Yes, he's hilarious.
Oh, that's my man. That's my man, Shaq Stanley. He's gonna be a star. He did the last two seasons of Last Comic Standing. He was on Wildin' Out. And I know from the scene in New York, and we used to run a show together. We're going to start doing it again called Big Pony Show. We turned it into a mic, but we did a weekly show every Monday featuring, it was Rojo, who was in episode one, mm-hmm. and he's in episode 4 and 5. Shaq and, Molly Austin, really funny. But anyway, so I wrote that character for Shaq. I was like, Shaq, you need to do this. Please do this for me. And he's big time, but he was like, all right, well, let me see the script first. So he read the script. And he didn't read the rest of the body of the email. He just read the script. He was like, yeah, so can I play the guy on the stoop? I'm like, yeah, that's who you're not going to be the star of the thing. You can't just tell, yeah, this is the one I wrote for you. And he did a great job with it, man.
It was perfect. Like, he has no shirt on for those who right. are at home listening later with audio. You need to go check this out. Mm-hmm. I will put this in the show notes on the blackouttips.com so you can click yep. on the video yourself. But this motherfucker has no shirt on, pants sagging. Hat. Yeah, bucket hat.
He got sunflower seeds. People don't really notice. Like, we have to find sunflower seeds. So I was like, you just need to have this prop in your hand. People might not catch it. You can see it more clearly when he's at the next scene with the hump part.
Yeah,
right. He's holding a bag of sunflower seeds. It's very important. Crucial to the character. I wrote it in holding a bag of sunflower seeds.
Yeah, I know y'all up north, but he looked like he went fishing.
Right. Yeah, that's
yeah, right. Like, because that's a South thing. I know y'all up north, but I'm like, the nigga look like he yeah. just left the pond.
Well, see, Seas toes hitting everybody. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right.
You fishing for that ass? You know what I'm saying? That's so.
Rock, tear that ass up. Like, yeah, I mean, I would tear that. You know, I'll show you. I'll show you what I'm talking about, like, wow!
He starts humping the stoop.
I need to take a picture of this. This is funny.
So he starts humping the stoop. Sean is like, okay, let's go.
Right.
Cause, you know, obviously.
Which is reasonable.
Right. This is awkward, uncomfortable. He's wild, you know, and, you know, also it's that position too, where it's like, am I going to have to fight a nigga today? Like, right. Like, let's leave this situation.
And, before it escalates.
And his girl is like, no, I won't get a picture of this. This is hilarious.
I can't believe somebody doing this shit.
Yeah. Which is also cool because it also kind of speaks to the common, like how common this shit is to get street yeah. harassed.
Right.
But it's like, oh, look at this one. This, he's doing it in a way that I want to catch on film and show my girls. This,
right.
this yeah. motherfucker is crazy.
Yeah.
Boy. Instagram, put it on the
phone.
Bang! Bang, 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 bang.
Bow.
Give it to me,
Stu. And so now she gets her phone stolen by some other random guy walking the other way.
Right.
Now, is this person a comedian, too? Because they ain't really had no lines.
Well, yeah. Fuck, this is so fun. So not only is he a comedian, he actually produced the whole project. And, the person that we were looking for to do that was supposed to be the thief couldn't make it. So Ronnie Fleming, funny dude, great producer. But I'm like, he doesn't look threatening. He's not a threatening dude at all. So right. I was like, yo, just take my hoodie. All right. And we had to teach him how to snatch the phone. We had to try to teach him how to steal. He was like, you got to grab it. Just do it swiftly. Because before he was walking and kind of like yanking, he was like, nah, we need you to take this shit. But he's also another comedian from New York.
Okay. So he takes the phone.
Sean, he took my phone. Go get my phone, Sean.
Don't worry, I got this.
I don't see you getting it.
All you gotta do is call your phone company.
So she's like, he's like, don't worry, I got this. I'll get your phone back. And check out his, this is how he gonna get the phone back. By the way, this is a very smart way to get the phone
and
back.
And in the background, while she talking to him, the dude on the stoop gets off the stoop, runs, and starts going after the dude with the phone.
Right. So street harassing guy is fighting the thief in right. the background to get the phone back. And Sean is relaying this advice to how to get the phone back.
All you gotta do is call your phone company, put insurance on your phone, you get a new one.
But all my pictures, my best twerking videos are on that phone.
Okay, why don't we go to the police station, file a police report, you know, make a day out of it, get some frozen yogurt after, you know?
Yeah.
Frozen yogurt? Yeah. Po-po and fro-yo. Po-po and fro-yo.
Yes! That's my shit right there.
Po-po and fro-yo.
So he's you know, Sean's for while he's suggesting these very practical solutions, which his girl does not seem to be feeling, Mr. What That Booty Do shows up with the phone.
Oh no.
Hey, I got your phone back. And you know what? I want to apologize. I should have never told you that I would tear that ass up. I should have told you that I would.
Now he put his hand on Sean's shoulder. Okay. So when you hear that second, I should have told you, this part is Deshaun.
I should have told you that I would tear your girl's ass up.
And there is a kind of logic to that. Like, it is a kind of street harassment chain of command that he was talking about. I
want to respect her.
Right.
Yeah.
I hate for you to do it, because when I saw that ass, I was like, oh my God. That ass.
Also, the other thing that the low key that's great on this is you closed captioned it.
Which is very smart.
Yeah, man. But I often think. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying. I hope people use it. I mean, maybe one or two of the words. Mm-hmm. There might be a punctuation that's off, and so forgive me. But I watch everything with captions, and
me
I
too.
Think it's good. That you do, it's right. The best thing. So I just think it's really important. I was like, anytime I do something like that, that's like kind of under my production of my like watch. Refresh. I gotta put captions. I gotta just wait and just caption it all out.
Okay, hold on. I think I'm frozen on Karen's screen. I gotta reset real quick. Give me a second. Just
okay.
Refresh. But yeah, I watch everything with closed captions too, dude.
Yeah, we do Game of Thrones. Yeah. Anything that we like live tweet, we always watch closed caption because a lot of times. When people are talking, they say stuff kind of low and low key, or action may be happening when somebody's saying stuff. So I thank you for even considering that. A lot of people don't really consider that part.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah. I like to watch a lot of shit on my TV. So even if it's on YouTube, I put it on my TV, and then I got the closed caption. I'm like, bam, dog, it's professional as fuck, dog.
Yeah, I'm trying to make it. You know, it's hard. You know, it's hard for us.
Yeah.
Doing anything. You gotta make sure people are like, oh, they put some time and effort into it.
Right. Yeah.
It looked good. It got some captions on it. Got the sound right. You know, it's different. So.
All right. Let me get back to this. I think I gotta skip forward back to where I was at.
I should have never told you that I would tear that ass up. I should have told you that I would tear your girl's ass up. That's the polite way to do it. Cause when I saw that ass, I was like, oh my God. Cause that ass is like, God damn that booty. What that booty do is doing something for you. I'm jealous. I respect you. But if you mess up, I will pour gravy on that ass and mashed potatoes and I'll have a delicious supper. I said supper. Mm-hmm. I'm old. You have a good day. God bless you.
Oh, God bless you. You have a good day. God bless you.
I mean, we can still get the frozen yogurt.
Frozen yogurt? Well, let him talk to me like that?
I'm not, I mean, because we're just people, you know. This is how I found it.
I need to. What? What would you?
He said, I need to tweet about this. Oh my God, man.
Oh, then they walk and stuff. And something else that I really like, Mike, with the fact that, where did y'all get that fake mustache from?
For what?
The
which one?
The dude on the stoop. I'm assuming that mustache is fake.
No.
Oh.
It's face, homie. That's his face.
Shaq, your mustache looks fake. He just found out live on national TV.
I'm assuming that it was. I was like, he looked too young to have a 50-year-old mustache.
Okay, well, I won't say his name on his age on the show. But,
no, you don't have to. No, baby, I'm not trying to put you out there embarrassing nothing like that. I just assumed that it was fake.
Shit.
Because he talking like he's 50 years old. Talking about my old school girl, mashed potatoes, gravy, pig feet, hot sauce.
Mike, I have an observation. Where did Tamika get her weed from? Oh, that's hers? Oh, damn. This is awful.
Well, that we got expenses.
Okay. So how long does it take you to shoot like one of these and edit it and all that stuff, man?
Oh, man. So the series, this first season, this first one is short. It's just five episodes, but, we finished it in about, I think, 4 days.
Okay.
We shot everything in 4 days. We did that episode and another half of an episode in one day.
Okay.
That part, I mean, I don't know how other people shoot their things, but it was a 3-page script. Mm-hmm. And, some of the stuff, there's some lines that are improv in it, mm-hmm. but mostly everything is like kind of straightened up. Like, hey, we need this shot. We need this shot. I need a shot of, you know, we need a shot of Sean beginning to say what he can do while you see the thief getting the phone back. You know what I mean? You need certain shots and everything set up. So once I had the script and I met with the director, Justin Hartog, shout out to him. We started kind of blocking out the scenes and he would know what needs to happen, where the cuts we need to be. So we ran it once and then we would run it again, but we knew which kind of shots we needed. Like, okay, you need to have him, like Sean behind the head here talking to Tamika. You need Tamika talking to Sean for this thing.
Right.
So probably took like, I'd say maybe like an hour or two, if that.
Okay.
You know, which is pretty, pretty short. You know, like I've done 15-second commercials or 30-second commercials with like fucking huge productions where you're on set for like 10 hours. And most of it's just waiting. And you're just waiting around. This is like, we all got there. Hey, it's just the three of us. These three lines are doing it outside. We don't know what's going to happen. If you watch the video again, watch the video for the people in the background, people who are like looking at what's going on. Like you don't really notice them because the editor's so good.
Yeah.
But you see like women coming by and looking like what's happening because they don't know. It's like we're filming something. They just think that someone's just hollering.
Yeah. Because you can't like block off. You can't like block off the street like Hollywood does and shit, right?
Because everybody involved in it is doing something in it. It's not like we got extra motherfuckers just to be like, to play defense. Right. We don't got that.
Right.
You can't have a camera and be like, all right, now you don't come here. You move over. Shoot, do it. There's a part, there was a dude who walked by and it actually, I think it brings like authenticity to it. But when he comes back with the phone and he's like, hey, I brought your phone back. There's this guy who walks by just with the moonbox, like kind of like fuck your set, and he's just like playing hip hop music. So he listens again, he's watching, and then you just hear random music come from nowhere, and then he just disappears because he walks through the fucking shit too. But we're like, oh, this is a good shot, though. We gotta keep it. Fuck
yeah. It. that's dope, man. And how'd you know who to get involved in the project? Like, I know you said. When you were thinking about certain parts, you already had, it sounds like you had people in mind, but like, when it comes to stuff like a producer or a director, like, how do you figure out those connects?
Man, I wish I had a good, nigga, I just put on Facebook. I was like, yo, I got these scripts that I made. I think they fire and I need to get them made. Anybody know anybody? That's how I usually like, if I don't know anybody off the top, I just go like, I just kind of crowdsource it. Just like, hey, anybody knows how to get it made. Now, if you left it up to my mom, this would have been a Kickstarter thing. This would have been out 2017. I would have wrote Tyler Perry a bunch of messages. That's her first fucking advice she always gives. Oh, you should be on Tyler Perry movie. You like Skip Hazel Eyes. You can drop out of here. But no, I got it. So I put on Facebook and a comic was just like, hey, hit these two guys up because they both, one, the director, Justin, he doesn't do stand-up anymore, but he used to. He was like, Justin has a comedy mind. He's worked on... the latest Spike Lee film where they're like in a field or something. It's like the, I don't know the name of it, but he worked on the latest Spike Lee film. and the upcoming Michael Moore project and a few other things. So he's like legit filmmaker.
Right.
And the dude Justin is a producer, and they've worked together many times on different shorts. Okay. And they were trying to start like their own thing. They were like, hey, we want a project to do. So basically, it was like talented people with nothing to do to make something. And I was a talented person, and I was like, well, I have this series, and I want to get it pushed. So we all had like vested interests. So that shit all worked out.
And it helps, and it helps them as well, because, you know, it's also something they could put their name on, which, you know, kind of means a lot in, you know, when you're doing independent media, like I said, it kind of means a lot that you can be like, oh, well, here's a project I did that is well done. You know, I'm confident in it. I work with some other, you know, I showcase my talent, work with talented people.
Right.
And we got this thing done. As opposed to just being like, I'm very confident in myself, but I don't really have a thing you can point to be like, this is the thing on my resume. Cause we talk about this all the time with the podcast and stuff. Mm-hmm. People don't normally help you out until you don't need their help.
Right.
And people don't normally co-sign you. People don't normally give you anything until you've already maximized what you've been given. So, for example, nobody's going to be like, let's go give this guy a TV series, but they will go find somebody who's made a successful YouTube series.
Right.
And be like, let's give this guy a TV series because he actually doesn't need us. Like, they'll probably offer you the money and exposure that is less than whatever you're getting at the time. In a lot of cases, it's almost like a step down. It's kind of like how Key and Peele's YouTube videos get way more attention and
in actual a TV show,
Right. So it's like they actually don't need a TV show anymore. But that's kind of how it seems on the outside looking in, that's how that business works.
I mean, that's how I feel it does. I know when Broad City first started, it was just a YouTube series. It didn't do like crazy well, but eventually they had got Amy Poehler to be on like their last episode or whatever, and then they were like, Amy, we want to push this to TV. And she was like, well, I love this series. I want to get behind it. And that is how it got to Comedy Central.
Wow.
But, like, if you look back, if you're a fan of Broad City at all and a fan of, like, Black Eyed Tips, if you search Broad City Spike Lee, they did kind of a homage to Spike Lee about, like, street harassment, whatever, and kind of like a Do the Right Thing parody street. It's brilliant. It's not on TV. It's just on YouTube, and it's just, like, some brilliant shit. But They didn't have like a lot of views. For me, I was like, man, if all of these episodes can hit 1,000, I'm happy.
Right.
It was like, if I can get 1,000 views for each one, over 100 subscribers, or, you know, at least 100 subscribers, then I'd be like, all right, now I can definitely feed these people some dope shit and still do stand up, still do, you know, still do the Outliers, still do the podcast, still do the show, still do Decepticomics, and do all these things. But it's like that TV piece was the only piece I felt like I was missing. I'm like, I got my touring group, I got my show, got the podcast, I'm jumping on other people's podcasts, but I want to write. I want to be in the writer's room. I want to be on the Blackish room. That'd be great. Be in the nightly show room. That'd be great. Be in whatever room I can be in and just put some, not just some flavor, but some really, really smart comedy, really funny comedy in there and just tear things up, you know, tear it up.
Mike, whenever you get to the point to where, like, you're offered these things, what is it that's going to be like, I would rather continue to do my own growth versus cross that line? Because a lot of people get to that point where, like Roger said, it doesn't even benefit you sometimes. You literally make more money being independent, because a lot of times once you sign with people, the part they don't tell you, you're giving over control over a lot of shit.
Yeah.
And creativity sometimes.
And I don't want to do that. I mean, what will probably happen is because, like, I don't say ruthless, but I'm reasonable. Mm-hmm. I'm reasonable. And I think that having an outlet, always having that outlet, and it might be even, just like abandonment issues, cause I don't want to lose my stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to just give myself up to somebody and then be asked out in the end. So it's like, if there was something of to the effect of like, hey, we like your web series and we want it for us and only for us, then we're going to have to start talking figures like, okay, well, you might have this exclusivity for X amount of time. You know what I mean? And during that time, I'm guaranteed to be on the air in season. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of there's a lot of like backdoory type of things because you don't, you know, and as black people in entertainment, you always don't want to get burnt. You know what I mean? Right. You don't want to be like, you don't want to be like, kind of like, I don't know all the details of it, but like Terrence Howard after Iron Man 1, right? Right. And he's like, well, we coming back for the sequel. I read the comic books. I know that this man gets a suit. I know I'm going to be a part of something. Mm-hmm. Let's all renegotiate our contracts and everybody leaves him behind. And then he out of it. And on the real, nobody gave a fuck about Terrence Howard
right.
until he became Lucius Lyon.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? But he always had that Lucius Lyon in him.
Right.
You know what I mean? He was always like a star. But when he kind of fucked up with Hollywood, it was lost.
Yeah.
So for me, I would love to keep the series going. Even if I got like a big writing job somewhere else, like I would definitely keep the series going. If they wanted to do something with the series, we'll talk about it. I would love to put it on TV. I probably would like to keep it on online because mm-hmm. I think there's a lot more freedom online right. and you can easily share it. And I feel the same thing about the Key and Peele shit. Like the sketches are good on TV, but nobody's like watching TV no more.
Right.
So, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. They did a study that says for the first time ever, more people are on the internet than watch TV this year. For the first time ever. So that goes to show you that people are online and less people are watching TV.
Well,
we still watch TV, but.
For certain types, like genres, it's even more prevalent. Like, we talk about sketch comedy. I mean, yeah. I would venture to say most people get their sketch comedy from the internet now. Like,
yes, they do.
Well, even big time, like, Saturday Night Live probably gets more hits from Hulu the day after. When mm-hmm. people have kind of vetted the skits and they're like, oh, here are the four skits from last night you have to see.
Right.
As opposed to,
let
me stay up for 2 hours and hope that the shit is good tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I definitely believe that. That's why I want to keep it online. I'm always going to keep it online. I always got to keep something going. And also, like, as a big, like, hip-hop fan, I see, like, I remember seeing like Kendrick Lamar's like success from just being like independent and then mm-hmm. becoming, you know, this huge megastar, but he still has those independent roots.
Right.
And when you have to like work hard and have that independent grind, you start building your fan base. You start really connecting with people. You start really getting your craft the way you want it to be without mm-hmm. anybody trying to have their hands in your pockets. But once you get somewhere, It's like if you're super successful out the gate, everybody's gonna have your hand in their pocket, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you try to work hard yourself and it takes a while, by that time you have things already in your pocket, so people gonna try to have their hand out so they can make money with you. So I think that's where it's gonna end up going.
And I think also, I can't speak for you, but for me, I know it's definitely a control freak part of it,
mm-hmm.
where I just feel like I'd much rather bet on myself than bet on somebody else to do some shit for me sometimes. And that, like, you know, part of that is, you know, obviously shit I can work on, but part of that is true. Like,
mm-hmm.
nobody gonna care about my shit as much as I care about my shit.
Right.
So if I put my mind to something where I'm like, I want this done and I want it done this way and I want it mm-hmm. done by this time, I know I'll get it done, but sometimes with, you know, when you put your career and you put the projects that you're interested in the hands of other people, they don't always have a priority of it that you do. So
right.
I think that matters a lot. And I think especially because I know you know you recently lost your job, and I had lost mine before we started going premium. I lost my job, and I know part of that is an experience too, where it's like
mm-hmm.
you know, why, like, what about my happy, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, like, you hear me. Like, I feel like I froze.
Oh, you yeah, just refresh and we'll put you back on screen. If it froze, it's no problem. But can you hear us? Did we lose Mike completely?
We may have. Hold on.
I don't see him. Well, he's still on Skype. Oh, it's calling him. Okay. We might have lost him on Skype, too.
Okay.
All right. Well,
so maybe his internet did that. Yeah.
Yeah, his internet might have reset. Wouldn't that be funny if we just lost him for the rest of the show? Yo, Mike, you there?
No, he's not.
It says it on Skype. Hold on. We're getting the call back. All right. Anyway, but yeah, I just remember, that feeling of being like, you know, what about my happy? Like, it's
mm-hmm.
everybody else is getting their money, and you know, your worth to your wherever you're at is typically way more than whatever you're getting paid. And I mean, even if it's like accounts payable, even if it's like, you could probably be the janitor, and whatever you're doing is probably worth. Yo, Mike, you there?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. But yeah, like you're like whatever you're doing, like especially if you're working in like certain industries, money money passes your hands, like your service is valuable, your, you know, the accounts you look at, the amounts of things you, the business you bring in,
any, seeing them dollars,
any of that stuff, the customer service, the customers you retain, like any of this shit. But then you're kind of treated and made to think like, oh, I'm kind of worthless here. And I think whenever you're out on your own doing work and seeing your own benefits, even if the money isn't the same, it's all shit you earned for yourself, and there's a different level of pride that comes from that.
Yeah, I mean, and also it's like if you spend 40 hours a week working for somebody else, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're doing all that to make sure that this person's happy and that they meet their goals. And when I say person, I mean, you know, the corporation, right, whatever, right. And you're doing all that. After you're done with work, it's like, now can you work 40 hours a week for yourself?
Probably not.
Probably not. You might be able to get 20, maybe 10, because you got to also remember you have to rest. You have to do things that make you happy in order for you to function. You got to live a little bit. There's all these other things, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of people were scared to like really put their passion, you know, in front of them, really work hard for it. Because the reality is that corporation that you're working for started from some person saying, I need to make my own thing.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And it got big enough that other people are working for it. So it's like, if that person can start that company, like people look at Steve Jobs with Apple or whatnot, like there was like, he was working. He was like, man, I gotta do my own thing.
Yeah. And honestly, man, even success or failure, it's hard to live with yourself knowing you got something inside of you that you never gave a shot. Like, so it's like, if you take the shot, you can at least respect yourself. Like, no matter whatever happens with this podcast, even if ultimately it fell through and with shit just didn't go right, I could always be like, yo, I took that shot. Like, other people thought about stuff like this every day of their lives and they just never tried it because they were kind of scared or they never got the opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I can always look at myself as a person and be like, yo, I did try. I did have an opportunity and I made it like work for however long I made it work. And I think that's something that, you can never take from somebody. So I think that's really important, man. And that's one of the reasons that we do, you, Janelle, JL, like when we see people trying to make these endeavors and put these, whether it's like a web series, whether it's, you know, just people's podcasts, whether it's stand up shows, like we try to get the word out because, you know, I want everybody to get their shit too, man. Like, it's no reason we should all be sitting somewhere in a desk, especially if we feel like we can do more or do something different, feeling like we gotta do that every day and not be able to hook ourselves up.
Yeah. No, I totally 100,000% agree with that, man. And shout out to Janelle, her series, I think it's called just Web Series.
Yeah, it's called Web Series.
So ratchet and so funny.
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
It is very, very good. She's a very funny woman.
Yeah.
Oh, she's.
I never thought I'd be laughing at dicks that much.
Yeah.
I'm not.
I didn't need.
Yeah, I'm not very much of a like a dick joke kind of guy, but they got me like 2 weeks in a row now. I'm gonna need to see that dick.
Let me see it with the glasses.
Yeah, I'm gonna need to see that dick. I was like, oh, you got me, Janelle. That's goddamn funny.
Janelle, here's a fun Mike Brown fact. Janelle was my first on-screen kiss. So she
We saw that, man. We watched that video, the one about the crazy people learning to date.
The crazy fucking. She put up that screenshot right that day.
Yeah.
No, and for those, so Janelle's married, right? So she put that screenshot up. Best believe I'm getting not from the husband, but people like, what you doing with Janelle? Because they see no cameras. They just see a picture.
They see no cameras.
What the fuck? Oh, you think you real cute? You think you real cute out here? I'm like, nah, I can't say anything. But no, everything's not what it looks like. Everything's not what it looks like. But she's so shout out to JL too, man. It wasn't the Steve Jobs. He did like a Steve Jobs.
Oh yeah, like the parody joint.
Oh, parody also good.
Tim, the guy who's now oh my god, that joint was hilarious, man. JL just does great work, man.
Another one does dope, crazy dope work, but it's really a matter of like the people getting behind it and really and pushing it. I think him too, man, just like, you just gotta put it out there, like, hey, this is what I'm doing, mess with it. Like, when you listen, it's crazy, like, I listen to his podcast, right?
Yeah.
And at the end of the podcast, this motherfucker will tell you, you gotta do like 12 different things, cause he got so many things going on. He's like, alright, cool, thanks for listening to the podcast now, watch my YouTube channel, watch my sketches, watch my movie reviews, buy my album, buy this album, or this album, or this album, follow me on Twitter if you want to, be my comedy fam, like, he's just going and going.
Right, then he's like,
somebody who say he don't got some stuff going on, man, you got stuff going on, bro. Don't,
right, then he's like, my calendar is empty. I'm like, when the fuck you gonna have time to do some stand-up, man? You killing it.
But, you got sketches coming out every... You damn near got a parody of your parody on Louie and shit. Like, come on, man. There's so many things. Come on.
He got, he actually has a new joint coming out. We're trying to have him on, hopefully this week, to talk about it. But he's doing like he's doing a Bernie Sanders versus Trump debate with Barack Obama moderating. Say that again.
He's playing all three?
He's playing all three.
On Facebook, he
put the pictures of him dressed as Trump and Bernie Sanders out. So, I mean, I can't wait for it, man. I look forward to all his stuff, man. So, you know, he's another person like that where it's just like, you know, extremely funny, hardworking, always putting shit out, man. But all right.
Yeah.
Oh, and also shout out to Brandon Collins, who was featured in one of JL's skits about the Ken Burns documentary on using the microphone as a dick.
Thundercat Jackson.
What I like most about it is that he played the Brandon strengths, because Brandon can only do one impression, which is that old black man voice.
You know, do old black man. It always ends up being an old black man. I don't know
every time. Every time, it's so good. Like, somebody will bring somebody up, and Brandon will just, I'm not aware if Brandon's aware of it or not, but it's like Brandon will try to like ad lib like some. Like, somebody would be like, yeah, man, it's kind of like how Chelsea Handler said so-and-so. And Brandon just be like, yeah, I'm in a lot of movies. He's like, she don't sound like that.
That's horrible, but that's like somebody's uncle, dog.
That's every impression he does sounds like Danny Glover. It's so good, man. Oh,
Brandon in his soul. That's how he sounds it to himself in his soul. Yeah. Like, you gotta let that out, Brandon. You gotta let that out. crotchety. Just a real crotchety voice. Yeah, that's what I'm like. Why are you? You know, do an impression of Chloe Montarez from Kick-Ass. Do an impression of that young girl from that show. Oh, yeah, my father.
This one impression is like, it's like a blues singer from like an 80-year-old blues singer and shit, but he used it for everything, man. Y'all should all be listening to Comedy Outlaws, by the way, because what I like about it too, about the podcast now, is that it's so comedy centric,
right?
And you guys get a lot of good guests that you know, from the comedy world that you don't get to hear from everywhere.
Mm-mm.
And they talk a lot of inside baseball with comedy, and I like hearing that shit, man. And I'm glad, you know, to have, especially like from a perspective where you're getting it from black people too, because a lot of the comedy podcasts for black people don't really get to talk to necessarily the heavy hitters.
Mm-mm.
But then two, they don't always talk comedy, you know, like I enjoy hearing like, okay, how did this person set up this show, or how did this, you know, like, how'd you run this show? The one I listened to today, I listened to Cypher Sounds one. And he's talking about, he's talking about improv, you know, talking about transitioning from black radio and the hood rooms to the more improv crowd, and, you know, opening up at the, being at the Cellar for, hosting, but trying to make that next level. Like all that shit is so interesting.
I mean, that's the thing. It's weird too, cause it's like, I remember, when the Champs used to be, like, super on point, meaning like they put out things every week.
Mm-hmm.
Used to hear Neil and Moshe Kasher, they would talk to all these black guests, and it was like, oh, this is great. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they got a lot of stories.
Right.
From our perspective, we're like, all right, well, we're doing, our podcast is like really heavy comedy for comedy heads. Like, if you are a fan of stand-up, if you want to learn more just about the community as a whole, but it's like, we want to get every aspect of it, have real conversations. Like, when we have Hemda on or whatever, mm-hmm. we talk about comedy a little bit, but because we've had her on so much, it's just like always just going to be a great, funny episode.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But then when you get somebody like Cypher, it's like, all right, well, I don't think that the mainstream world knows who Cypher is. And, you know, he says that. He's like, they don't know who Cypher is. You know what I mean? They don't know his Hot 97 background. They don't know about the DJ Cypher sounds and all this stuff. But comedy-wise, some people might be hating on him because he's like, he's at the Cellar and he started stand-up relatively recently, right?
Right.
But he used to DJ the Chappelle show. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, he was the DJ for that show. You know, he knew all these people. Dave, he has all these stories, all these crazy connections, and he's still going through the fight of just trying to make it.
Right.
But who's gonna want to hear that story? Shit, we do. And it's like, all right, well, that's how sometimes, like, we do. There's certain episodes where I'm like, this is so inside baseball. And I'll shout out Rod. Like, Rod, this episode's for you because this is so inside. Yeah. This one is so inside. We're going to get one listen this week.
But I mean, I like that. Like, I learned about the Rose Battle thing because I've been hearing about it. But a lot of people who talk about it, comedians on their podcast, they talk about it as a given because I guess the people in their circles already know what it is.
Yeah.
So they don't really explain what it's about. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I think JL did one, but even when JL did one, he never really explained, like, what the fuck it was. He's just like, I'm gonna go do a Rose Battle. Oh, I killed it. I did this. I won. I'm like, what the fuck is it? So then you guys had Rail Battle on and actually broke down, like, this is where it started. This is what it is. This is how it's different in New York than it was in LA. Yeah. Like, all that shit, like, all that shit is something I'm not getting everywhere. Mm-hmm. So it's just like I said, man, the podcast is outstanding, man.
I appreciate that. You know, and y'all was fucking with it when we had we was recording out of soup cans.
Yeah.
I remember that. So thank you for sticking with us.
Y'all came a long way, baby. Y'all like them cigarettes.
We recorded in the bathroom.
This is back when Brandon.
I know if it's real.
This is back when Brandon only had one impression, y'all. It was last week. All right,
Brandon's
man.
Impression just got older.
Yeah. So this, of course, is the Blackout Tips. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher, and then the official weapon of the show is
the taser,
an unofficial sport,
Bullet Ball Extreme.
And today's podcast is brought to you by Bevel. That's right, Bevel, the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out getbevel.com today. Use code TBGWT and you can get 20% off your first month at getbevel.com. That's GETBEVEL.com. And today also marks day number 319 that Bobby Shmurda is locked up in jail. And still has not gone to trial. So, you know, just see you soon, Bobby. I hope you get your day in court, man. It's not right. We got all kinds of news to cover. So let's get into some of this news, guys. Have y'all heard about the Zola story?
Okay. Hold on. First of all, I want to say, when it comes to Twitter street literature, I pioneered that movement, B. All right? I'm a story fire. I did in 2012. Mm. 2012. I did 5 days straight of street literature. I was at work, bored out of my mind. You can ask the streets about the DC story. All right?
Okay.
I started the story. It started as all truities. Okay? Mm-hmm. And then I started making up shit for the next 2 hours. And I said, part two is coming tomorrow. People said, what? People retweeting, follow. The next day, I had people tuning in to Twitter, and I was going with it. Okay? To the point when my boy hit me up and was like, yo, bro, you won't believe it. I'm at the movie theater. I'm online in Atlanta right now. And these two chicks in front of me saying, did you read DC's story you heard about what happened to Mike? Can you believe? For real.
Did you hashtag this?
This was so early.
Right.
This was before it was black Twitter. Because remember, before we always were black Twitter, but we never really called it black Twitter because we didn't know there was other people on it. We thought it was just us.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it was just us Twitter. It wasn't like black. This was before, this might have been before Kid Fury even got to Twitter. You know what I mean? Like at this point, I remember, there was a time, cause you know, like Kid Fury, that's my cousin. You know what I mean? And there was a time before when he was just blogging and I was like, dude, you gotta do YouTube videos. And then he was doing YouTube videos and then he would come up and stay with me in New York to get a feel of how the city was before he moved up here and like, you know, totally changed his life. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. This was like around that time when he was like before he was starting to come up and visit just to see the city and shit. You know what I mean? So this was early. Now I'm not saying I need my credit. I'm not saying that.
Right.
But I'm saying you can tell what's real and what's fake.
Right.
And what's just brilliance. You gotta let her brilliance go. You just gotta respect it. I feel bad for Zane. I feel bad for people who are really doing the self-published street literature books and getting no love.
Right.
And Zola just came and gave y'all bars.
Bars, right? Like 148 live tweets of bars. And then I think she even took them down and shit. Like she took over the streets. She was trending around the world. Now for people that don't know, Zola's story, which I think has been storyfied, it's been hashtagged everything, was basically the story of a girl who said she was working at Hooters.
Mm-hmm.
Another girl came in with a friend. They talked and she realized that they were both strippers. And it was like, you know, the white girl, Jess is the other girl's name, was like, I'm going down to Florida to do some stripping because we can get money down there. Zola informs her boyfriend, hey, I'm going down on this trip with this girl I just met yesterday to Florida and we about to get this money stripping. And he didn't like it, but she went anyway without him. And long story short, they get down there, don't make too much money stripping. So Jess, the white girl, starts trapping, which is basically prostituting herself.
Okay.
Now let's all take a thing. Is trapping a homophone?
I thought trapping was drugs. What's up?
So did I.
Okay, right. I'm glad I'm not the only person going trapping.
We're trapping out the bando.
Right.
Are y'all fucking out the bando? Or or what is a bando? I don't know anything. I'm just trying to get a grip on what's happening.
Yeah, Roger, you know? Have to explain.
Yeah. I mean, I do appreciate it. Okay, first of all, do you think logically you meet somebody at work? But she's a Hooters waitress. She's meeting somebody at work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that person says, hey, let's fly to Florida tomorrow so we can make some money. Do you think that's a true thing?
That part happened? That somebody's we both strippers, let's get this money.
I think people in their 20s do it.
Yeah, well, they both young, but I do feel like strippers have like a completely different level of vibing philosophy than we do. I mean, they said they were vibing on their hoism, if I'm not mistaken. So maybe that's what that means. They both
that's
was
a good
like,
frequency. It's a good hoe.
We both, you some hoe? Yeah, I'm a hoe too. Let's get some hoe. Let's get this hoe money
let's go
together.
Get this money.
And they went and got it. I feel like it's the same as like comedians when y'all decide to go on the road together. How do you pick? Like you probably vibe on y'all comedianism, and then y'all be like, let's get on the road together. We could be the same.
Yeah, that's how it is. So
on Urban Dictionary.
And Sarome is like, hey, Mike, we didn't make a lot of money this night. You want to start trapping? I'm like, what'd you say, Sarome?
What kind of trapping are we going to be doing exactly?
What kind of Decepticomic? Dylan, like, I'm going to set up a back page.
Yeah, I feel like trapping obviously varies but by whatever the profession you're referring to, it seems, right? So on the corner, it says trapping is to set up the corner and sell dope. That's number one definition. Number two, sell drugs in order to make money and support oneself.
Okay.
I'm broke, so therefore I gotta go start trapping.
Okay.
Trapping, when a woman tells you she's on birth control, actually she wants your baby to get that money. trappings, paraphernalia. Okay, like, you know, like customs, rituals, or holidays. Trapping is a form of dance explored by the inebriated. So drunk people dancing, trapping. Yeah. Trapping to go chill out with someone. Maybe that's how she was trying to use it. Mm. And then trappings, which is clothing and accessories. So even Urban Dictionary isn't up on the
latest
prostitution version of trapping.
They haven't updated it yet, apparently.
Right. But Zola said they started trapping, and Jess was the one that decided she was going to be trapping via this Nigerian man named Z, who was calling and around and getting her Johns to come to this hotel room, have sex with her. Zola even said they started having sex right next to her, and she realized that she was only making like $100, and she was like, pussy is worth thousands. So they started, Zola started a back page website.
On Craigslist, what is?
Listing. No, back page is like for straight up hoe shit. Like,
oh.
Beating around the bush.
Oh, they was like, we're not playing this pussy for sale.
Yeah.
Okay.
Back page be like, listen, you better not be a cop. Hey, you better not be wasting my time. It's explicit. You know what I mean? Like, you can go in there and see like a twerking video, and that's like $500, $300 for this. Like, it's crazy. So she listed a back page for Jess and said that they got like all more customers. They listed the price at $500 to have sex with her. Z shows up. Apparently he found out about this. He wants all the money. He wants the money she made. Keep in mind, he would have only gotten her $400 that night.
Oh, he wanted to be her pimp?
He was her pimp, basically.
So
she gave him all the money, and then he turned and gave like $500 to Zola for hooking everything up. And then they decided, they had a crazy dude named Jared there that was Jess's boyfriend, and he was freaking out, and he was mad that she was trapping, and he found a back page site, and there's like a fight that happened between him and Z. Then later, Z has sex with Jess on in front of Jared to prove that, you know, like he's the one in charge.
You should have listened now on our next book club list.
Listen, I don't know how much of this shit is true, if any of it's true, what's happened, but they are finding the real people. Who's like their social media pages? They're being interviewed, giving their side of it. Like this shit is like a fucking
TMZ is all over it.
Yeah, it's like that's the article I was gonna read. Hollywood is knocking at her door for either a movie or TV show. Like it's crazy. Like I've never seen anything like more than anything else to me. Is how crazy this story is and how many people seem to be enjoying it. Cause depending on whose versions of events you believe, she was basically sex trafficking some girl and they at least helped some dude who turned out to be, get arrested for, underage sex trafficking, in Vegas. Wow. So like, it's just like a crazy ass story. Nobody knows what's true. So it's almost like Serial.
Right.
Yeah.
But it kind of gives me
almost like Serial.
It is, right? It's almost like Serial. Like everybody's getting their own version. Everyone's trying to figure out what's true. What's amazing to me is how callous everybody is to it. Cause like, you know, technically we're talking about somebody getting, you know, sex trafficked and fucking prostituted and all this shit. But everybody's kind of like, it's still kind of funny. You know what I mean? Like it's
entertaining. It's entertaining.
Yeah.
I mean, only one person died, hypothetically. Only one person died.
Right.
That was the alleged kidnapper. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, so there's a kidnapping at the end. I forgot to mention, there's a kidnapping at the end where Jess gets kidnapped and Z goes in and saves her and shoots a dude in the face. And people have linked this to an article where it seems like it could be true. It's like March 16th, there was a person who got shot in the face and killed in a hotel room, and then and this is a real news article from March 16th. Like, wow. A woman was an unidentified woman. Say that again.
That's any episode in First 48. Like, if you had every episode in your hand like cards, you'd be like, pick an episode, any episode. You're going to find somebody shot in the face in a hotel room in Florida somewhere.
Yes. And an unidentified woman ran out and jumped in a car and ran and left. So, like, people are like, is that this story? You know, but like Mike said, it's Florida. No way to tell.
It's Florida,
no
though.
No way to tell.
It's Florida.
Although, Jess's defense for that is, listen, I don't know if you read Jess's part, but her thing is, it's not true. And when they asked her about that, she says, no, because we were there way later, like 2 weeks later. So it was later in March. Now I'm like, yo, maybe it was true. Maybe that's the defense is like, nah, nigga, it was like 3 days after that. So, that day is wrong. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's a crazy, crazy story. I don't know what's true, what's not. I'm amazed how this shit's going viral and how many people want to see it, man. Like, I feel like this is one of those things where if they were to make a TV series out of it or a movie or something, people would wait till it came out, and then suddenly everyone would be like, oh, this is kind of bad. Like not badly performed, but like, oh, these people are fucked up. Like this, like what? Like, oh, this person gets sex trafficked. Like, this dude's got mental issues, like mental health issues that need to be taken care of. And this, like, it's going to be interesting to see how they do it, man. But
you're going to have some hood ass Netflix original series, like fucking Netflix Presents Bandos, and they're just like in a trap and they fucking and all this other shit. So yes. I'm for it.
Netflix Presents Trapping.
I'm for it.
I'm the only one surprised that nobody from the porn world has reached after them yet.
Come on, they
normally happens first. This. Normally, you get the porn people be like, "We can make a parody of this. We can, you know, hey, here's $1 million. Shoot this porn for us."
Working on that shit now.
Yeah.
No, see what they do is they wait. They wait till something makes a lot of money. They wait for like if you have something that's for like they did the Palin thing, they wasn't gonna just do a Palin porn. They had to wait till she was serious about being vice president. Then they were like, okay, now we can do this. Now we can do this thing. Like with Barack Obama, it's probably, I don't know if there's a porn. This is a random fact. This is a random fact that I fucking heard about yesterday. I hope it doesn't derail our conversation because it's a great conversation.
Go ahead, man.
I found out this about white porn actresses. They can't have interracial sex until they've had, it's like girl on girl, threesome, orgy, right? They have to do all these things and anal before they can be with a black dude on screen.
Yeah, that's what Kanye said.
I didn't believe Kanye. I didn't believe him.
Yeah.
Hey, what's the lyric? He said, she said her price go down. She ever fuck a black guy, a do anal, a do a gangbang. It's kind of funny. It's all considered the same thing. But you know what though, man? That's a white people thing though. Cause my white friends that I used to have, we used to do this thing. we used to do this thing called the annual porn exchange. And so what you would do is like go out instead of like a Christmas gift exchange. You go out and you buy like a porn DVD and you try, and the only rule was it can't be gay porn.
Right.
Because, you know, like for the most part, nobody's going to watch it. Like, we want to get something that it might be off center. It might be a fetish, but you would watch it. Right. So it can't be gay porn, but they would go out and they would buy, you know, you get stuff. You're like, oh, here's one with little people. Here's one with, here's like one was dude looks like a lady where it'd be guys dressed as women, but then they have sex with women. So then like, and there was a huge argument over that one. Oh, if that was gay or not. Cause people were like, nah, this is gay, man. We're like, nah, it's not though. They having sex with women is like, but the women would be like wearing strap-ons fucking the dude and shit. It's like, like, it's like, nah, I don't want that one, man. So like, you know, it was fun, but every year we did this, and we probably did this for like 5 years. Every year without fail, there would be at least two or three people that would just bring black porn.
Like, they would just bring it like, this is crazy.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Can you believe it?
Right, it wasn't
nothing spectacular about the porn. It was just black.
It would just be like something like the porn would be like, you know, in loving color, and it would be like, Afrocentric presents a parody of Living Color, but it would just be the hook would be it's black, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's just a booty talk.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm like, and so, you know, me, I'm like, damn. First of all, that's insulting and racist, and you know, I'm that I'm the guy who goes, yeah, that's like, you can be my friend and I'm still gonna be like, yeah, nigga, that's racist.
And second of all, thank you.
Right. And second of all, I will take this. But just know that this is very insulting.
Right, and next year be sure to get Black Street Hookers.
Right.
While you at it.
Right. I already own this at home, but I just want you to know.
Right.
That I'm very insulted that you would do this.
And I do keep on top of the name, guys. Don't think you're trying to fool me.
Yeah, I went out here to get the foot fetish joint, and all you did was go get DJ Yella's 4-hour, bullshit porn, man. Right. I appreciate that. Yella Boy Productions.
Oh, he's a terrible director. If you're watching porn out there, put him on the do not get list.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, man, that joint pissed me off, man. But yeah, that's low key, man. Like, white people see us as fetish only in porn.
Yeah.
You know, that's why there's an ebony section on every porn streaming site. But like, I've never heard anyone use the term ebony in real life.
Anywhere else.
Ever.
And not to get off topic. That was
Stevie Wonder.
He's the only one.
That's it.
And black girls named Ebony. That's it.
Right.
That's the list.
That used to kill me for a long time, because before I knew that I had to use the word ebony, I would be so confused, because it's a fetish with black men. So if you just put black, all of a sudden you get a lot of black men fucking white women. Before you get the black women, I don't know why we're kind of at the lower end of the totem pole. So you almost have to use ebony in order for the search engine to go. I think the search engine is racist too.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
Google racist.
I just think everything racist. Like even the sites that try to even the sites that try to be like a little more like realistic, they'll say black and ebony. Like nobody black says ebony, man. Like what the fuck is this mean?
They're gonna make a mahogany next. They just gonna keep trying to put towards
Asha. That's where that comes from, man. All right, let's talk about some other things, okay, guys? Let me see what I got just for regular ass.
Oh, Zola's story also has a failed suicide attempt. It also has an amazing epilogue. And if you haven't read it, just go to a site and just get the whole thing of a summary. Just get the summary, but it's very
go. You can go to my Facebook page. I posted it there. You can go to the Blackout Tips Facebook group. We have it in there. People have given their theories. Like, the thing is, I do find it intriguing. I do find it entertaining. I do find it to be funny, but I also do think it's fucked up. Like all those things can exist at the same time. And I think, you know, in the new social media age, it's just like, well, this is just not funny. No one should be able to laugh at this. I'm like, nah, I laugh at fucked up shit all day. That's kind of my job, as you guys are about to see. But it's like, you know, that's what it is. So I'm not even mad at the thing. And plus, all three people have different versions of events, so we don't know what the fuck happened. So I don't know. I think, you know, and I still think, you know, sex trafficking and shit is a very real problem in America. And obviously it's fucked up and it's not funny, but at the same time, I ain't sure that's what even happened with this story, because everybody's telling the story. And like Jess's version is so like, I know you are, but what am
I? Did she see a version?
Yeah, it came out. It's on, what is that? Metro UK? Like, they interviewed her, and her version listen, dog, her version is just like, you know how you can tell somebody's lying because their lie is too perfect?
Okay.
Like, her lie is like, no, I did meet her, we did go down there, but I wasn't hoeing, she was hoeing. She's like, we went to the strip club and she only made $1 in 2 hours. So that's why she started home. I was like, your story don't
make sense.
Nobody gonna believe she made a dollar.
Who pays a dollar?
$1 in 2 hours. We've seen pictures of the girl.
What? That right? Then you know she's not a vending machine. What's happening here?
Yeah. Come on, man.
Come on.
So her lie too good.
Oh my god.
Right. Oh my god. Rapper Trick Daddy.
Oh, not Trick Daddy.
Wants to make all your food taste like the dirty South.
I don't know if this is good or bad.
Well, let's
find
out.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And, of course, the kids, because Trick love the kids. I'm Trick Daddy Dollars. A lot of y'all may know me, but here's where you really know me from.
Hey.
Hey.
Take it to the house. Like me.
You don't know this.
Okay. What's up?
Shut up.
I would like to thank my fans. I would like to thank God.
It's to the audience.
My haters. Welcome back, y'all. Now, as you guys know, right, I've been in the kitchen lately. You know what I'm saying? I've been doing my thing. I know y'all know the saying, bitch, I got my pots. Yeah, that's me. See what I've been doing? I've been going all the way around the world.
Hold up. Do we know that saying? Is that a saying that we
I
say?
I didn't know it.
Bitch, I got my pops.
I didn't know it.
Yeah, I thought the kids was watching. You cussing at the kids.
I wish I did.
I will be saying it from now on. Thank you, Trick Daddy. That just made my life way better. I'm about to be cooking every day talking about, bitch, I got my pops.
A lot of the mainstream ingredients, and it just ain't right. So I teamed up with Jada Spices. And now I got my own spice coming up. It's called Trick Daddy Spices. I want my season to be the oldies but goldies in the years to come. I'm trying to inspire the women to start back cooking for the kids, because all this crazy fast foods is really going to kill them. Now, first, I want to tell you a little something about the seasoning. This is the chicken salt. Remember.
Oh, shit. I might go there, buy that shit just for the hell of it. How much is it?
Yo, they got the music like you trying to save a kid's life in the background.
Your
put that piano on you.
Yeah. Your 25 cent can
like,
help
thank
save
Jesus,
kid.
Give him a meal. Give the children a meal. Give the children a meal.
Trick Daddy Trick Daddy Chicken Salt. I didn't even know chicken salt was a thing.
Chicken salt, because the women's need to get to the cooking again for the kids. Did he guilt you into the kitchen? Is that what he's trying to guilt me?
And during that scene, it turns black and white. It has soft music in the background.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. He should have shown some Africans with flies on their faces, like, see?
It's versatile.
Only 20 cents a day, you too can get chicken salt from $10.
And all purpose. The reason why I say that, because you can use it before or after. We have two cracked eggs. You notice how clean they are. So they ain't cut from Winn-Dixie. You hit that.
Why this Winn-Dixie? What did Winn-Dixie do to Trick Daddy? Right. That he had to do that.
You? He had a problem with Winn-Dixie and their grade A eggs. What did they do to you, sir?
He said, you see how clean they are? They ain't come from Winn-Dixie. Okay. Mm-hmm. These some whole food eggs. He put chicken salt on a salad. Eggs.
Yes, he did.
What else did he put chicken? It's something else he put. Popcorn. He put chicken salt on.
Yep.
Oh my god.
You whip that, and it's vegan, and that means it smells like chicken, it tastes like chicken, but ain't no chicken in it. It's MSG free. It's gluten free, and I love it.
Oh, did
you
he say gluten free?
And for all my Hispanic people, I know y'all love using that chicken bouillon, but check this out. This tastes better and it's healthier. And you can tell them I said that. This is the jerk season.
Now, this one is jerk
season.
He
got jerk season?
He got jerk season.
He said gluten-free.
And every single...
I have to listen.
Every single logo has, bitch, I got pots on it.
Yes! I got to get this season.
All you jerks. This season is sort of act like me. No, they call me bipolar. You could use it as a dry rub. Or use it as a sprinkle season on top of the fish, the chicken, or shrimp. Anything you would like. It got that little island twang to it, so you'll like it. The next season I'm going to tell you about is the Cajun season. You want something hot, but you don't want to burn your butthole. And I've been...
What?
You want something hot, but you don't want to burn your butt. You don't want to burn your butthole, Karen?
Okay. And then he has two pictures. Y'all can't see this. He has a picture of a woman with a thong on. And then on the other half of the screen, it's a picture of a cartoon of somebody bent over and like air coming out their butthole.
Looking for that Cajun chicken and Popeyes, but it's not really Cajun. This is some real Cajun. You gonna know it. This is something my folks love to use because we from South Carolina and they call us Geechies. this some real Cajun. Try this out. This is real black folk Cajun, okay? Since I know it's a lot of L7s out there, and a lot of y'all squared in the pool table, I'm going to go ahead and cut straight to the chase, okay? We are raising money for the licenses, the inventory, product development, manufacturing, for the website. Trick Daddy Spice is coming real soon. And, of course, the kitchen. My future plans include my television show, a cookbook for all you hardworking women who want to cook something for your man.
I am for and all of this.
Only for the women.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Brothers.
Oh, what about the brothers trying to cook too?
He might have lost the feminist vote right then.
He lost them. Somebody in the chat said Trick Starter. Leslie Mack said it's a Trick Starter.
I want to do my own restaurant. I'm doing this because of y'all, and I'm doing this with y'all. All my fans, I appreciate it. This is where it starts at right here.
There we go, man. So I'm in for the Trick Starter.
Me too.
I need this shit in my life. Oh, shit. Oh, Trick Daddy Spices, man. Oh, God.
This is a mess.
Yo, we officially old, man.
I told you. I've been told you this. I remember
Trick Daddy being the number one shit that came on in the club when it was time to go. Like, oh, shit. They done threw on this Trick Daddy. Niggas about to start fighting.
Be like, girl, get your shoes, get your pocketbook. We about to go. I ain't trying to get shot up in this bitch.
Right. Now look at us, man. He's selling... He like our generation Dick Gregory.
Right, because we old.
like Earth, Wind, and Fire never sold no chicken salt. You know what I mean? Like, we gotta do better, y'all. We gotta do better.
But you know what? One thing about it, they entrepreneurs. They like, look, we ain't going out. We know we used to be good. We gonna roll off that fame.
Oh, yeah. My God. Oh.
I will be getting your spices.
Jared Fogle, who you guys may know from Subway or from Diddling Kids. Depending on which circles you travel in. He reportedly bragged and secretly recorded tapes about sex with children. He was caught on tape by former journalist Rochelle Herman Walron, said she posed as his friend over the course of 4.5 years, wearing a wire asking him about his predilections. I would fly us clear across the world if we need to Thailand or wherever we want to go. If we're going to try to get some young kids with us, it would be a lot easier, he told her. I had a little boy. It was amazing, he reportedly said in response to a question about being with children. It just felt so good. I mean, it felt so good. At one point, Fogle said Herman Walron, he asked her if he could film her children. Damn, how tight did he think they were?
Right.
So
you can't be that. That's
you mind if I get your kids on tape? I was noticing. Oh yeah. No. Okay, my bad. Didn't mean
how do you bring that up? How do you just bring that? Even if that is the homie. Hey, what Bobby doing later? That's not his camera. I was just thinking, how do you even begin to bring that thought up like a lie?
Right. Like, I don't even know how to approach somebody and ask them for a threesome. How you gonna ask them to fuck their kids? What? Are there any other of your kids' friends that you think are pretty hot? What if we put a camera in your kids' room? Would you be okay with that? Or no, would they be okay with that?
Put
a camera in his kids' room, in a kid's room. So he pled guilty to child porn charges in August and he faces 5 years in prison. That's it. Yep.
Who faces 5 years? Just Jared?
Jared.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's it? Five?
That's it, dog.
The FBI apparently knew he was a pedophile for years and let him continue.
But they loved them sandwiches.
It was like, with this sandwich is so good.
They give us the discount, we go to Subway.
Yeah. They said he pleaded guilty to having sex with two minors and possessing homemade child pornography, although there were many more victims. He agreed to a plea deal where he would serve 5 to 12.5 years in prison and pay $1.4 million in restitution to his victims. The story was reignited 2 days ago when the New York Post revealed the contents of the secretly recorded audio tapes, and in them, Fogle's perversions are laid bare. Talked about fucking the kid and shit. So she contacted the FBI, who asked her to wear a wire. And then glossed over in the mainstream media, however, is the fact that the entire process took 10 years.
God damn!
She wore a wire for 4.5 years before the FBI took action and arrested Fogle. That was my biggest question. Why it was taking so long.
Right.
A case of this size just happens to take that long, and that's what I was told. What the fuck, man?
I don't believe that.
Mm-mm.
Because it'd have been my black ass. They'd have caught me in 48 hours and thrown my ass in jail, and I'd have got 25 years.
She would have caught it. If that was a black woman, she would have caught a case. She would have caught a case right when he asked, can I use your children?
Yes, it would have been a wrap.
Fuck this. So why would have came out, fuck all this. You ain't about to have my kids up in no video. It would have been over.
And it's not like he's some type of drug kingpin where they got to get a racketeering charge and shit. Like, just arrest this motherfucker. Like, how many more kids he get to fuck? She believes the total is more than 14 kids, by the way.
Of course.
And that he took international tours, including Thailand, where he was fucking kids.
You know he did.
And she says his admission got more brazen over years. He even began asking her if he could install cameras in her her children's rooms. That's how that went down. Jared was getting by.
That's crazy.
Yep. Let's see what else is going on. You know, it's Halloween time. People like to pull pranks, right? Somebody pulled a prank where they put some fake spiders in the Logan County prosecutor's office, and he pulled some guns on them. So he got suspended.
Fuck yeah! I'm old.
Say what, Mike?
No, he was gonna shoot the spiders. Is that what happened? Did they bring him in? And he caught the people bringing the spiders in. Was he shooting the people or shooting the spiders? I need to know where these guns were going to.
The spiders can get some too.
They say he pulled out a gun, threatened to shoot fake spiders set up around the office as Halloween decorations. He said they had spiders everywhere. He said he told them it wasn't funny and he couldn't stand them. So he pulled out a gun, and while he didn't wave it around and point it at anyone, he threatened to shoot all the spiders. It had no clip in it. Bennett was quoted as saying, of course they wouldn't know that. I wouldn't either if I looked at it, to tell you the truth. Bennett told the station that White had been with the office for 5 years without incident, and that as of now, he does not intend to fire him. Oh, he gotta be white. He gotta be white. Oh, nigga, you should lose your job for this shit. I'm sorry.
Immediately.
Oh, my God.
Forget.
Like what other shit are you? Yo, what other shit can he be scared of? You know what I mean? God. Like what if we just be like, oh, let's dress up as pilgrims for how
we decorated with black people around the house.
Yeah,
around office. Yeah, I told you how I feel about him.
Now see,
not funny.
This would be your fault if I kill everybody in here,
right? And you know, and I know there are some black people that do this, but this is a white folks thing, the prank shit. Cause you know me growing up, we ain't pull pranks. Cause you probably get your ass beat, whooped, punched, knocked out from somebody being scared.
Well, you know what's funny to me is this guy owns a gun, and his reaction to being scared is pulling the gun out. Like that tells you a lot about when they kill innocent, unarmed black people.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like it's pure fear. It's just like, oh, a nigga, where's my gun?
Right.
Let's see. Cheating on your partner could be ingrained in your DNA.
Uh-oh. What? I've been saying this. Yes.
Now everybody has an excuse.
We get claps in the background.
You like,
yes.
People gonna start.
Where you get that ignorant shit from? I get it from my daddy. It's my daddy's fault. And his daddy before him and his daddy before him. I want to be faithful.
It's in my genes.
I want to be faithful.
Sound like
it's
we're
in
gonna,
my genes.
We got to start.
This is just the way God made me, okay? Don't slut shame me. Okay, this is my DNA. This is not a choice.
We got to start LGBTC.
Yeah, you're goddamn right.
Mm-hmm. See, that's my orientation. I identify as C. I will cheat on your ass.
Cheat. It's not really cheating. It's natural. It's not cheating. Why does it have to be cheating? Because you're going outside. If it's natural. See, that's the problem.
Right.
You have to start. We have to look at this whole cheating thing differently. Maybe it's the chicken salt for our relationship. You see what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to add some spice into it, okay? It's a bipolar. It's a bipolar spice.
I prefer to be called trans commitment. Okay. So I just, you know, I'm commitment fluid. I'm commitment fluid, and a lot of these people out here are binary, but they don't recognize.
You know, I'm trying to get all of them. Hey, ladies, I'm trying to get all of them. Okay.
While we may view cheating as a flaw in someone's character, a recent ASAP science video suggests that our likelihood to cheat is actually more closely related to our DNA. Humans are classified as part of only 3% of monogamous mammals, or mammals that stay with one sexual partner for life, but cheating is still very much a common occurrence. One commonly cited study on the practices, one conducted by sex researcher Cher Height in her bestseller, The Height Report. According to the Washington Post, Height found that as many as 70% of married women and 72% of married men had cheated on their spouse at some point in their marriage. While more recent research has found these numbers to be smaller, the fact remains that many people cheat. According to ASAP Science, what is that, like ASAP Rocky?
I'm coming out next summer.
Yeah, ASAP Science, nigga. Representing Harlem. And we also represent Queens, because we cheat on our boroughs. our likelihood to cheat is actually written in coding for our dopamine receptors, also known as the happy hormone. For example, about 50% of individuals who possess the long allele variant of this hormone have confessed to cheating at some point in their lives, compared to only 22% of individuals who possess the short allele variant. Individuals with this long variant are also more likely to engage in risky behavior and deal with substance abuse.
You just talking about people's natural behavior.
Well, it says people with longer alleles in this specific group end up being riskier people. They cheat more. They might have substance abuse. They, you know, so it's just,
wow.
They take more chances, Karen. Cheating ain't nothing but taking a chance that another person wouldn't have taken.
Cheating takes courage.
Cheating is like a turnover in basketball. You know what I mean? Oh, like in basketball, sometimes you make a turnover, but a turnover is just you taking a chance somebody else might not have taken. Right? Trying to make something good happen. Another hormone related to cheating is vasopressin. This hormone is released when we come into close physical contact with others, and is found in smaller amounts in individuals who have social development issues, such as those with autism. So, if you want somebody who won't cheat on you, gotta date somebody with autism, y'all.
That's the only way to do it.
That's a good selling point. Need to play that up. Yeah. Whoever's doing a PR for autism, get on it. You better get on it. With that being said, biology is not the only factor that plays a role in our likelihood to stray. Factors such as the amount of money both spouses earn, emotional problems, and alcohol abuse are all known to affect the chances of cheating. Ultimately, however, although our hormones do help to control our behavior at the end of the day, only you can make the final decision. Oh, don't be moralizing. See, you was keeping it science.
You took all the blame off of me in the beginning of the article.
Right.
And then you throwing it right back on me at the end.
Yeah.
You're talking about you found some scientific evidence, and then you're like, oh, so you just might be an ancient nigga. That's just what you do.
You're like, nah, baby, also, I got that cheating DNA.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Also, you could be dating a broke ass nigga, such as yourself.
Yeah.
So, maybe that's the deal.
It plays a factor.
Men most likely to drop you off at work. Also high on the cheating chart. I don't know why.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
You a ride.
Men driving your car and dropping you off at your job. Somehow they
want to show you getting there.
Yeah, they just trying to take care of you. And we gotta deal with this bullshit. All right, let's do fucking with black people real quick.
Where's I ain't the, taking you to work, bitch. I'm yeah. committing you.
I love you too much to drive your car to work.
Drive you to work. Drive your car.
I'm just gonna stay here and play video games. All right, let's fucking with black people. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game where we go all around the world and get articles about black people being fucked with, and then we assign point scores from 0 to 100 in intervals of 25 for how much we feel fucked with as black people. Today's contestants, everybody. everybody's on the list. Here's some gymnasts who made the list today. It was from the Daily Mail. And the article title is "Maybe Next Time We'll Paint Our Skin Black So That We Can Win." Italian gymnast sparks fury with racist jibe at 16-year-old new world champion.
Oh, they mad at them girls that went out there and whooped everybody's asses.
No, they mad. You know they mad.
An Italian gymnast has provoked outrage after claiming the sport's first black world champion only won because of her skin color.
Not that she outperformed everybody, right?
I think, let me just bring this sentence back a couple words. The sport's first black world champion?
Right.
Only won because of her skin color. So it was never a benefit until 2015.
It was never a benefit until she won.
Suddenly everything changed in the world. And it was like, you know what? It's time. It's time. Viola Davis and now her. American Simone Biles, 16, gave gymnastic history when she became the new all-around world champion on Friday. But moments later, Carlotta Ferlito, you could be black in America, Carlotta. Yeah. You wouldn't get behind a resume check.
Mm-mm.
She told a journalist that she had joked with teammate Vanessa Ferrari. That's another one. You sound like a fucking rapper. this Sunday. See Nicki Minaj and Vanessa Ferrari at the Palladium.
Live.
Right.
Be there.
Now, notice, peep this. Let's vibe on our hoism real quick. Carlotta came in fifth. Vanessa came in fourth. And she said that they should paint themselves black next time to stand a chance of winning. The 18-year-old told the interviewer, "I told Vanny the next time we should also paint ourselves skin black so we could win too." Y'all came in fourth and fifth.
Right. You didn't even grace the top three. You wouldn't have won.
Yeah. She quickly took to Twitter to apologize for the comments made on Friday.
She made that shit.
And on Tuesday, Ferlito tweeted, "I want to apologize with the American girls. I didn't want to sound rude or racist. I love Simone. I'm a huge fan of USA Gymnastics." Mm-hmm. She then added, "I've made a mistake. I'm not perfect. I didn't think about what I was saying. I'm just a human. I'm so sorry."
Kiss my black ass. You meant that bullshit.
Mm-hmm. I know she meant it.
Right.
You know she meant it.
I'm tired of people being goddamn racist, and then when they call on their racism, they're going, "Oh, no, I'm not racist."
The row has now escalated after an official in the Italian team tried to justify the comments in a posting on Facebook.
Right. They tried to justify. Right. That's what I'm saying. Nope. Don't want to hear your excuses.
He said Carlotta was referring to a trend in gymnastics at this moment, which is going towards a technique that opens up new chances to athletes of color, well known for power, while penalizing the more artistic Eastern European style that allowed Russians and Romanians to dominate the sport for years. He also added, "Why are there no black swimmers?" God damn it! What?
What?
Why are there no black swimmers? Because their physical features don't suit the sport.
That's 100. I don't know if we're just talking about that, but that's 100. Let me tell you this. They always say this about black people. Go to any Caribbean island. Everybody there swims.
Everybody.
It's an island of swimming motherfuckers. Okay?
black people.
They need to stop with that shit. The whole, "Oh, they black. Oh, they Jamaican. They don't swim." They live in the fucking water. Right. They're right by the fucking water. That's all you gonna do is swim. You gonna swim. You gonna catch your food if you want to. You gonna grow your own food. That's some racist bullshit. Right. But it is funny what he said in theory. But it's wrong.
That's right.
Well, not just that, but I mean, it's not their fault that they can't pass the drug test. I mean, the weed is much better there. What they supposed to not smoke? They swim, they eat fish, they smoke. Man, it's a great life.
I'm trying to tell you.
I wouldn't want to do the Olympics either. But he said that black people may not have some of the necessities to be, let's say, a field manager or general manager, and that they aren't good swimmers because they don't have the buoyancy. Nigga, that's just racism.
Right.
Especially once you threw in the field manager and general manager. So basically they're not smart enough to manage. They're good enough to be athletes though. He later apologized for his remarks, adding they were not intended to reflect the official view of the Italian Gymnastics Federation.
Kiss my ass.
Nah, yeah. that's, the thing is, like, if you say these things, like, if you say these things in conversation, like, if she would have just said to a homegirl, right, the first chick, if she was like, oh, maybe we should paint our skin black, right? Mm-hmm. If she would have said that, like, in a social way,
right?
Maybe it's like it's still fucking. I'm trying to always play devil's advocate. I'm always trying to play devil's advocate.
Well, the devil don't need no advocate, man. He winning. He winning on Earth. I'm just letting you know. The score is devil like 7 billion and God like 3. But nah, I mean, I just think that, she said something racist and her real mistake was saying it to the press, like getting caught, you know what I'm saying? Like she right. really thought it was a good idea, but that's one of the things we forget about these people. They train to be athletes and to do this shit. Right. They don't really train to say the right shit.
I think we lost Mike.
Oh, we lost Mike?
Yeah.
Well, he was trying to be, the devil must have advocated his mind. You know, I do hate devil's advocate. Guy came in and was like, give me Mike's line. Mike, you back?
Yeah, I'm back. I'm pissed off.
The devil decided that you didn't need to advocate for him.
Yeah, I'm on this. I'm on this motherfucker. I'm on this Russian connection.
Well, you don't have the buoyancy. You just don't have the buoyancy.
I don't got the buoyancy. I don't got the Wi-Fi strength. I don't got nothing. I got nothing going for me right now. This is bullshit. This is bullshit.
0 to 100, intervals of 25. Karen, what would you give that?
What kind of question is that? 100?
Okay, well, listen, that's the question that I have to ask for the show. Mike, what about you, man? How fucked with do you feel about that story? 0 to 100.
Man, it's 25.
All right, 25.
125.
Oh, 125.
125.
Okay, I'll give it 100 as well. So, Birmingham nightclub accused of denying entry to black girls despite reservation.
100.
I don't even need to hear the rest.
This week, London-based blogger Jess Gregory took to her Facebook to describe an incident that occurred last week when she, along with a group of 10 friends, drove 100 miles to Birmingham to celebrate a birthday at a club called Bamboo, where they made their reservation for the evening. Long but worth reading in its entirety. Okay, so she wrote this on Facebook. So last night, myself and a group of friends drove to Birmingham for a birthday celebration. Very excited. We spent money on travel hotel in the week the birthday girl booked us on a guest list for a bar club called Bamboo, as it says you should below. We got dressed, we got two taxis, there are 11 of us. We got to the queue, we were then told we were not in the guest list, then told that the owner had changed something and said something, then told actually we can't come in. On questioning, they had no real reason, as the birthday girl confronted them with the confirmation she received of our booking. I found it off that despite me questioning security, didn't say anything, no eye contact, no voices, just simply looked away like they were embarrassed about what was about to happen. We were pushed out of the queue to a side only to be told that we were too black. A security guard explained they do not allow groups of black people. We were a mixture of black and mixed girls. He explained the club simply won't let us in because of the color of our skin, and there were being 11 of us would mean too many black people. It happens all the time and was recently on the news in a similar situation in a club in London. I have had it happen before, but never so blatantly, never ever so obviously, and quite as shamefully. Hey, Mike, man, they ever do this at comedy clubs?
I tell you what, here's a funny thing. All right, so we had a Decepticomic show at a club in New York, and for some reason, they had like double booked the room. So we had our show. We had our show going on, and we were waiting for that show. We had our show that was waiting to go on, but the other show had already started. And so there was just like some discrepancy with the management or whatever, the book or whatever. So we have all our people in New York waiting in the lobby, right? Mm-hmm. And we bring out the streets, and I want to say the streets, but we bring out us. You know what I mean? Right. Just beautiful black people, beautiful people of all colors, races, creeds, genders, whatever, sexual orientations. It's just like a great show. And the black bouncer there gave the entire crowd so much shit, we almost lost the whole show. Because he's like, why when y'all come out, y'all gotta be so loud? Y'all need to quiet down. Y'all need to get to the side. And meanwhile, there's other people there in the show, going to the other show, white people, whatever, and they got nothing. They didn't get none of this bullshit. So, but in general, you're never gonna turn away the money, though. Right. That's like, you could be whatever the fuck you're going to be. You're never going to turn away the money, ever.
Yeah.
If you pay for a ticket, and there's room for you to sit or there's space for you to stand, you're going to get inside. There's never you know what, there's too many black people together. Most times, it's better to have more black people together at the comedy show because we're going to laugh the loudest, we're going to spend the most money, we're going to have the most enjoyment out that motherfucker.
Right.
And that's just the truth.
Okay. Yeah, what makes me wonder is like, because I don't think, you know, I don't think this is a thing just everywhere, but the club scene is definitely a thing.
Terrible with it.
But yeah. I never heard it with the comedy club before, so it just made me, made me think that, like just,
like you said,
ask.
Comedy people, they want your money.
Yeah, like, I couldn't picture them doing that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, plus,
no,
comedy isn't necessarily about I mean, not saying this, the crowd doesn't matter, obviously the crowd matters, yeah, but yeah. But it's not a thing where like the crowd gonna be hanging out with each other, so like I can't picture somebody being like, oh, I want to go see Mike Brown, but I walked in and there were six black people here, I don't know if I want to
too many. I counted. I was like, 1, 2, 3. This is all right. 4, 5. Uh-oh.
I can't be laughing at these jokes.
Yeah.
But that's just anyway, man.
Do you guys have like bowling alleys?
Yeah, we got a few. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have like the big chain ones? There's one where they're really segregated there too, where it's like, first they say no motorcycle colors, you can't wear baggy jeans. No, this type of wear, athletic gear. And it's like, nigga, I'm bowling and I gotta buy shoes when I get in here. Like, why are you doing this? And so, like, I've seen that type of shit happen where groups are like, we can't even go into the bowling alley. I used to love bowling. I don't go bowling anymore because all the chains are in New York and they're very like, you can't come in with all your friends. Like, I got a reservation. It kind of doesn't. Well, you guys gotta get different shoes or that, like, we're buying shoes, bruh.
Right. We're renting shoes from you.
We're getting the shoes from you. How are you? What my baggy jeans got to do with bowling?
I've been in a bar before where they do the, there's a jukebox, and then they'll put a sign on the jukebox like, no hip hop. If you play hip hop, it will be turned off.
Wow.
They just like, oh, I know. So no niggers. Got it. Thanks, buddy.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. So you could have just said no niggers. Okay.
Yeah. I guess colors only isn't on the sign anymore.
Yeah.
I was actually making a joke with my boy Justin yesterday. We went to get some water. We were playing basketball and they had this water fountain. You know how they have the water fountain that's regular height. Then they had a little water fountain for kids and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So we both want to get water at the same time. So he goes to the little one and start drinking out the little one. And I was like, I'm gonna drink out the regular size, a little bitch, you know, like making jokes and shit. He was like, this one got the better water anyway. It's cooler and, you know, like bending down is good for you. I was like, nah, man, this is the better water. I don't want to try that. This, you know, I'm pretty sure that this is the one for adults and I'm an adult. So but then when we were walking back, I was like, yo, you think anybody ever tried that with the colored water fountain? Like when white people had like the whites only and then the black people had the colors only, if there was ever like a black person drink out the water fountain, I was like, this is some good ass water. Did they mix the suns up or something? Are we supposed to be drinking this? Woo, this is some good water. You would think with a dirty water fountain like this, you would think that it would be.
They switched the streams on you. Yeah, this is amazing.
Good God.
They messed the signs up.
I don't know what y'all missing.
Like one white person would be like, move out the way. I'll try some. Let me get some of that water. You're like, nope. Colors only. You go back to
Go back to your side.
Go back to your side now, sir. We've been very respectful drinking out of this water fountain.
That's probably why they stopped with the color water fountains. That's probably what it was. Color water fountains are that good water.
That's
for everybody.
Something about this brown water is better. I don't know what it is. I swear to God.
The chlorine, the dirt.
It's a seasoning.
Chicken salt. Just put some water in this jug. I'm going to take it home with me. I'm going to take this brown water home. So they basically got kicked out of the club. I mean, 100 for me. I don't need to read the rest.
That's 100. That's 100. Real quick.
Yeah. And of course the club's response was, We are aware of the allegations made with regards to refusal.
Allegations? Y'all didn't let him in. What allegations are we making here?
We strenuously.
Y'all didn't allegedly tell him get the fuck out of there. Y'all told these niggas get the fuck out of
there. Right. She come with reservation, confirmation numbers and shit. Y'all was like, nah, we good.
No reservation. We got segregation. Get your black ass out.
They said, we strenuously deny all accusations made. I feel like that's the wrong verb there. Yeah, strenuously or adverb, whatever. Like that's the wrong word.
Yeah, either you
that's the wrong one.
Yeah, right. We strain to deny. Oh, we fight so hard. Oh, we strainless. Oh, you can see the veins of my arm from denying these allegations. our front of house team is nothing but professional at all times. I've been commended on numerous occasions for this by a local licensing team.
I don't believe you.
Are they black though? Are the local licensing team black? Okay. As a venue of 500 capacity, we have over 1,000 potential customers attending the gain entry to our popular events, and it's inevitable that people will be refused entry as a license, but they made a reservation, right?
That's the whole point. I know a lot of times places doing certain times, they will say, well, we not doing reservations just for this purpose. Don't do the reservation if you're not going to allow them to get in.
We would like to welcome anyone with any doubts to view our promotional videos. For many,
you give a fuck about your promotional videos. Either what the promotional videos ain't gonna let my ass in your facility.
Yeah. So they went and got receipts on them though. They took like, you know, because Twitter is forever.
Right.
Mm-hmm. At HuffPo Young Voices published a picture of a person that got a rejection from them for application.
Right.
When they were a student and they were applying to get a job. And they got a racist reply. Hey, I was just wondering, you have any part-time jobs available? Yes, but we need less Afro-Caribbean staff. Many thanks. I mean, that's pretty.
Yeah,
it's pretty.
Well, see, the other side is this. There's two sides of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucked up what they're doing, but at least their racism is right there in your face.
Yeah, they're keeping you from wasting your time.
Yeah, they keep from wasting right. your time. Like, mm-hmm. like, so that person don't got to be like, keep trying to apply, be like, oh, they didn't like this thing. Maybe I can interview next time. Maybe I really want to work at this club. I really want to do it. They said they don't like my personality. I've taken some classes. I've read some books. I've educated myself. Maybe they like me now. Like, no, they'd be like, yo, we ain't fucking with y'all.
Yeah, are you I'm just checking. Are you still Afro-Caribbian? Okay, well, yeah, with this job's not.
Yeah, yeah, you still, yeah, that's good. You got your degree now, that's great. Congratulations.
So you're a doctor now, but you're still Afro-Rican.
Yeah, okay, great.
They posted.
Oh, you want to buy the club? Okay, that's great. You have the money.
Afro.
I'm just gonna hold up this paper bag. Can you put your arm next to it? Thank you. Oh yeah, it's still too bad. They posted pictures of people talking about the racism they experienced there. They posted a picture to KKK and said, I'm going as Bamboo Bar for Halloween. So they got their jokes in. Love black Twitter. They turned the sadness into humor.
Yeah, we do that a lot.
Yeah. So all right, man, let's go to our next segment. Let's talk about, let's vibe on our hoism, if you will. talk about these Ball Alert women. Yeah. Hey yo, I'm looking for a 5-star kid. Talk about. Look like I'm just stepped out of a magazine. Three-state fly and an interstate fly and a jukebox wet and a head something fire like. Gotti, here go 12 bar. Gucci man got 9 car. We don't call him down no more. Oh, nah, we call him 5-star nigga. That's a 5-star click. That's a 645. That's that new M6. Pay a bill, get a hell fix, might even pay a rent. And the way she give it to me, best money I ever spent. I can't even lie. I'm so super hot. Do not need her, will not keep her unless she is fly. Gucci man's a thug, B, yo man is a sub. See, she love me, now she love you, now all my bitches love me. If you in Atlanta, call up Gucci girl and beat me. You can find a 5-star hotel, you can meet me. 5-star bitch, that's a 5-star, and that's a 5-star, and that's a 5-star. If your credits go high, you nails stay fly, keep your juice box wet, and your head something fire, you a 5-star, and you a 5-star, and you a 5-star. All right, here are your choices, Mike. Number one, Baller alert. Oh wait, no, we can't use that one. Number one, 10 places you aren't looking for a woman but should be. Blog by at proudly Laurel. Now she wrote last week 10 places you aren't looking for a man but should be. Okay, number two, groupie tales. I hooked up with Nick Young in Vegas. You guys may know him as Swaggy P, plays for the Lakers, also fiance of Iggy Azalea. Number three, groupie tales, Will Gay of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I believe he just got fined for wearing shoes that promoted domestic violence awareness in breast cancer awareness month. Shout out to the NFL on that one. Number four, ballerific relationships. Is your man on the down low? And number five, groupie tales. The gang picks his groupies up at Louis Vuitton store.
Okay.
Your pick, Mike. Did we lose Mike? Where's Mike? Can you hear us? It's showing him being able to.
I see him moving.
Yo, Mike, you hear us, dog? We can't hear you. All right, let me hang up and get him back. Let me see. Hope he heard all those picks, because if not, it's going to be awkward. Yo, Mike, you there? I don't know. Did he mute himself?
I see him moving around.
You hear me now?
Oh, I hear you. Yes. I hear you, dog. All right.
So this is what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the game's new album. Love his album. So I don't want to hear his groupie tale. I don't want to hear his groupie tale.
Okay.
All right.
This, if somebody got to give me a list of places I should be looking for women, I don't want to know about it. I want to find it. I want to capture a woman like a Pokemon, you know, like a wild, wild, big-breasted woman appears. Like, I want to find it myself.
Okay.
I really want to know the Swaggy P story.
Okay. All right, let's do Swaggy P. Come on. Hey, I'm getting a little bit of echo on your side, man. Is it still muted in Spreecast? Let me see. 1, 2, 1, 2. All right. I can hear you still.
Okay, we're good. I don't hear the echo no more.
Yeah, the echo's gone. Mike, say something. Let me see if I can hear you still. Oh shit, I can't hear him no more. Damn. All right, let me call him back on Skype. Let's see if that's it. Oh, now I hear him.
Bitch.
Okay, I hear you now. Man, I think our connection is slow for some reason. All right, let me hang up.
Yeah.
All right, let's see if we can fix this connection. If it keeps being slow, we can take them off camera and see if.
How about this? You start the groupie tales. I'm gonna call from the phone. You start the groupie tales. I'm gonna drop out, but I'm gonna call you right back. But just start the groupie tales. All right.
All right.
Okay.
Cool. I got you. All right.
Because I can hear you. All
right. Okay. So. Oh well, I can hear you right now. Fine. Okay. All right. He's gonna call us right back.
Yeah, he figured out that to fix the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. He's dragging.
So, groupie tales. I hooked up with Nick Young in Vegas. We've got another groupie tale. This one is long, involves a Vegas escort, and really takes a while to get to the point. But when it gets there, it gets there. Mm. This will be our second groupie tale on Nick Young. Do they match up? Give the groupie tale a read below. All right. Matter of fact, should we make this sponsored by Vevo? Are we going to have time to get to the...
Yeah, we can make it sponsored by Bevel.
All right. This groupie tale is brought to you by Bevel. I just love that we... this is awesome. Anyway, this groupie tale is brought to you by Bevel, the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Are you tired of being annoyed every day because of the irritation that your skin gets from ingrown hairs and razor bumps and discoloration and the way it makes you look and feel? And the next thing you know, you gotta log in the Baller Alert and start calling women bitches and hoes.
Ah!
You start hoping that bad things happen to them, like they get raped and stuff, huh? Hating ass Terrell Jones. Well, maybe if you shave with Bevel, you wouldn't have that irritation in your life, and you would feel better about yourself, and you would say kinder things on the internet about your father abandoning you or giving you two left shoes and Jordans when you needed one for the left and one for the right. So make sure you guys go to getbevel.com coupon code TBGWT and get your shave game correct. Get yourself looking smooth. Get yourself feeling not irritated. And get yourself, with, you know, just refreshing your mind every day. Just go to GetBevel.com, code TBGWT, and you can get 20% off of your first month at GetBevel.com. That's GetBevel.com. All right, here we go. So, rewind to earlier this year in Las Vegas for the Billboard Awards. I didn't attend the awards, but I live and work in Vegas, so I decided to hit the strip that night. I was with a couple of coworkers. You could say we met up at a Planet Hollywood, drank a little, and got up to get to work. I'm sure by now you wonder my profession, and well, I'm an escort. So she was vibing on her hoism, dog. So it was hella busy that night everywhere, and we decided to go to Caesar's Palace first. When we got there, we seen one of the Jonas Brothers. The youngest one, Joe? Maybe.
I don't think she knows.
Anyways, it's not about him. Just a filler that he's a cutie, by the way. Anywho, I caught a date out there, and by the time I got done, my friends had left down to MGM. By this time, the awards were over. Here's where it gets juicy. I caught a cab down to MGM and met friends inside near the Starbucks. They were drinking and eating, and so we were sitting in the area. My girl seen some guys standing not too far from U.S. gold chains, chubby wallets, a drink. Oh, I think she just meant from us. Why she put U.S.? Anyway, from United States, gold chains, chubby wallets, and drunk. The best type of trick roll. Only thing is, they were black guys. But hey, it was late, so we went over and talked to them anyway. It was kind of watching out the side of my eye when she waited for another girl and myself to come over. So it was all explained downstairs near the slot machines that we are working girls and expect compensation. The two guys agreed and we followed up. The room was decent, little dirty clothes and whatnot. But once we got upstairs, they tried to switch up the price, and my friends weren't having it. Long story short, they left and I stayed. So she was like, they was like, actually we want to pay less, and then she was like, well, y'all can leave. I mean, shit, two for one,
more money for me,
right? I got rent due. So when am I going to drop the recently engaged baller's name? Soon. His two friends, whose name I found out later at the Instagram creeping, are at Big Meat 2000 and at Kendrick M. Sugar. Now to the action. Big Meat, the cheapest ever, went first and paid for both him and Kendrick. Once they finished, they said, hey, we have a homeboy too. You try to make some more money? At first I declined because I had already spent too long upstairs with them, but they offered, who turns down an extra $2,000. When the door opened, it was none other than Los Angeles Lakers Nick Young. Sexy, tall, fucking, just everything. He had on jogger pants and a white tee. Remember, it was late, so he wasn't in Billboard attire. His hating ass friends didn't want to leave the room, so he pulled me into the bathroom, took off his shirt. I instantly got nervous. I mean, of course I'm an escort, it's my job, but I was attracted to Nick. But I thought to myself, fuck that scared shit, I got paid, now I'm gonna get some good dick. LOL. I got on my knees, pulled his pants down, and bam, no lie, Nick has the biggest dick I've ever had. I started sucking his dick. It was so big that he was holding my ponytail each time I deep-throated him. My eyes were water, but I wouldn't gag. LOL, skills on that ass.
Not them skills.
Oh, boy. Somebody better get kidnapped during this story.
She is the Liam.
This is not worth it.
She the Liam Neeson of hoes.
Yeah, she.
She got skills.
A special set of skills.
Skills and shit.
He moaned a little and pulled me up off my knees, laid some towels down, pulled my dress off and bra. I laid down, he slid on top of me. Now this nigga legit got that pipe game. I felt awkward moaning because, baller or not, he's still a trick. He then flipped me over in a doggy style. I now see why Iggy didn't give a fuck about him cheating. Nick is a god in bed. And he went the fuck in. Slapped my ass, pulled my ponytail while he was smashing and nutted. And when Nick got up, he wasn't all weird with the condom like most other famous men I've encountered. I took it off of him and flushed it. After we got dressed, he chatted for a while. We chatted for a while about random shit, exchanged numbers, and I left. One of my best sexual encounters I've ever had. Here's the comments.
Oh, Lord.
So Luscious says, is he still engaged to Iggy? Shy Breezy 91 said, these hoes is scandalous for them dollars. B Thang says, I wish these chicks would want more for themselves.
Trying to be moral.
There's always one, right? It's like, who mama is on this site? I wish these babies would just want more. How come we never have a groupie tale about going to college? Where are all the groupie tales about raising your children?
With the groupie tales about raising your... So I saw this nigga had two kids, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to make them breakfast. So, girl, I went over to the house. I brought my chicken salt and everything, girl. Listen.
I scrambled them eggs. Skills on that ass.
Like Trick Daddy taught me.
And this nigga's kitchen was so big.
Girl, I'm talking 6 eyes on the stove. The biggest stove I've ever seen in my life.
And he had the one with the grill, girl.
This nigga had an island, and I was like, you got islands in your kitchen, nigga? I'ma cook for these kids, shit. And then this nigga was like, I'ma take you to work. I said, no, you ain't cheating on me. You ain't gonna cheat on me.
So I'm studying the bar exam. You know how we do. When he comes in,
you know, see, I'm an Esquire bitch. You just a bitch that get Esquired, okay?
Oh, Lord.
You get in legal problems. I got you. I got skills on that ass. So Marie Alice Romaine says, does these hoes realize, period, comma, that oral sex is unprotected, question mark, comma? Does these hoes realize? I don't know. Carlos says, you can't ask a rich man to be faithful. That's common sense. Carlos low-key be hating, too. He want to be hating ass Terrell Jones so bad. Sugar Bear says, the only thing is they were black guys. Bitch, but y'all are hookers. I roll. Sugar Bear don't appreciate that sism up in that story. Carlos says, at Sugar Bear, well, I'm guessing hookers look at black men and have a flashback to the one time he punched her in the face and raped and robbed her instead of paying her, so there may be some anxiety there.
Oh, Lord.
Jesus. Well, I guess that is what all black men do. Mike's back. All right, we lost him for a second.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard the comments of Sugar Bear.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right. Then Marie Alice Romaine ends it by saying, still waiting for one on Cameron Darnell Chancellor, strong safety for the Seattle Seahawks.
They've been having their eyes on people.
Yeah, she's holding Damn. Out. She is holding out.
If you gonna be fucking a group, you gotta just look at her web history first to make sure that she don't go to certain sites before you fuck with them. Because I would never want a story about me on one of these sites. Good Lord, no.
Yeah, hell. Man. Well, you know what it is? What I wonder, how many of these people aren't groupies, right? They just got a groupie tail. And how many of these happened, like, before you really thought about groupie shit? Like, how many women already have a groupie tail on you, but you ain't thought about it? They ain't thought about it because you're not famous enough yet.
At the time.
They're going to wait. Yeah.
Right. As soon as you get that FX series, it's a wrap, dog.
Oh, yeah. Well, it doesn't matter, because if that shit happens, if one of you motherfuckers every group retail me, I'll tell you I'm going to have a column on Ball Alert the next week. You ain't going to get me out my money. I'll tell you right now.
Mike Rago had a first ever rebuttal to a group retail.
It was gonna be like, it was after a comedy show, y'all, and he thought he was funny. Yeah. It was me and my girl. We was looking all cute, and we looked up there on stage. And then we went backstage, and he thought he was going to get it. But, you know, I'm not a hoe, but, you know, I've done this in the past, but not with a comedian like this. You know, I didn't know that he was big time and that he had a TV show, but you know, me and my girl, but she left, you know, right. But since she left, it was just me.
Mike Brown shit gonna be his column gonna be the first ever column to start with Ball Alert Groupie Tales. I was tired. It was a long night by Mike Brown.
it's gonna be Comedy Outlaws. Somebody, yes, Comedy Outlaws. Yes, it was two, and I took them both, and we was outlying. I tell you, girl,
it was bad.
I tell you, I'm gonna be verified. I'm gonna put a verified check next to every true groupie tale that's about me. It's gonna right. be like Twitter.
It was a very cold night. Blogged by at Mike Brown. all right, let's do guest arrays. I think we that was shorter than they advertised. I thought that was gonna be long. Here we go.
Now that it's time for some guest arrays. That's right, it's guest arrays time. Now that it's time for some guest arrays. That's right, it's guest arrays time.
That's right, it's time for guest arrays. The number one game show going across all the podcasts, and we read and play news articles from all over the globe. And we ask our contestants today, Mike Brown from Can't Stop, Won't Stop comedy series, to guess the race. And the cat room plays along, and they're racist. All right, here's number one. A woman is charged after allegedly kicking a dog to death. Oh, did we lose Mike? Hold on.
Can you hear me?
Okay. All right. Here we hear you. All right. Cool. Cool. This happened in Denver. A woman has been formally charged with killing a dog.
Wait. First of all, hold on. Before you get to the whole story, but I'm going to tell you this. We don't be kicking dogs that much. All right. Second of all, we talking about Denver, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go white just percentage wise, but go ahead, go through the story.
Killing a dog during a domestic violence incident.
Wait a minute. Now I gotta shit. All right. I withdraw my white comment. I'm gonna have to wait and see.
Okay. All right. Kenei Love, Kenei. She's charged with one count of aggravated cruelty to animals. The charge alleges that on Sunday, Love was involved in a domestic altercation and allegedly killed a family dog when she kicked it into the air.
Shit.
She punted the dog?
Like Anchorman.
Was she trying to kick a goddamn field goal?
Did she say, well, now this is happening, like Jack Black when he kicked that dog?
He kicked the shit out that dog.
That's a movie. An arrest affidavit states Love had intentionally kicked the dog during the argument and stated, I don't give a shit about the dog. After she kicked the dog flew about 3 to 4 feet in the air, hit the ground, and died instantaneously.
God damn.
Melvin Lewis, 22, has been cited. Melvin.
Kenei and Melvin.
Kenei and Melvin. Has been cited with city assault charge for allegedly hitting Love 3 to 4 times in the face with a closed fist, in addition to other injuries. She was released from custody on a $2,000 bond and is scheduled to appear in court November 2nd to be advised on the charge. Guess the race of Kenei Love, 25.
Kenei Love?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't. Everything was pointing to this couldn't be a black person. Once you say kick the dog.
Mm-hmm.
But then once you go to the best of violence, I was like, okay. So somebody kicked the dog because he was so mad. Like, fuck, I'm going to kick your fucking dog. That's how I felt this happened.
Mm.
And then Kenei. Lord. Is there an accent in the name or is it just
K-A-N-E-I?
Oof, shit, oh fuck, you know what, I don't want to do this, but I'm gonna go black.
And Karen, did you ask the chat, or, because I just did it, but
I didn't see you in there. The chat is saying black, okay.
Alright, I'm gonna go through that racist guesses real quick.
Go ahead.
Black, Mike Vick Black. Usually goes to white folks dressed up like Ike and Tina for Halloween. Oh, that's why Leslie listens to the show. She regrets it, but she ain't shit. Chicken salt.
Gets her ratchet fixings from the black guy who tips.
Yeah, right. You know, hey, look, she gonna go out there.
Fight the power tomorrow.
Fight the power.
Now her fist in the air.
Get this racism up off of us.
Right.
Gonna get these jokes off in the meantime. Are they prepared for Broncos training camp, Black? Her fast twitch muscle fibers is what allow her to kick so hard, Black. Top Mike Vick, everything he knows how to treat animals, Black. Pooch punter, Black. Black chicken salt. She kicked the dog after throwing hot fish grease on a dude, Black. Blacker than your food after you put on that trick starter seasoning. The correct answer is everybody got it, Black.
Yeah. Oh shit, she crying.
Yep. Let's just go straight to the bonus round.
They named this girl Conniving, and they didn't want to spell the rest
of it. Conniving
they
love.
They dropped some few letters off.
McGruff, the crime dog actor, gets 16 years in prison.
Oh shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we ain't send him around in a while.
John Morales, the actor who played the crime-fighting cartoon character McGruff the Crime Dog, was sentenced to 16 years in prison, stemming from a 2011 arrest in which police seized 1,000 marijuana plants, 27 weapons, including a grenade launcher, and 9,000 rounds of ammunition from his home.
Goddamn, McGruff!
He's taking a bite out of crime's ass!
Yes, he was! The bullet. He was like, fuck that, this don't pay enough! McGruff gotta make that money, y'all.
I want to see what his new speeches is like.
McGruff out there trapping.
Listen up, kids. Fuck that bullshit. Oh, crime does pay.
It pays a lot.
I watch Breaking Bad. The sentence was handed down Thursday, just 3 days after the 41-year-old former actor pleaded guilty. Morales insisted during the sentencing hearing that he was nonviolent. But U.S. District Judge Vanessa Gilmore said, everything I read about you makes you seem like a scary person. McGruff the Crime Dog is a cartoon bloodhound that was created by a global advertising company, Saatchi & Saatchi, and the ad council in the early 1980s for the National Crime Prevention Council. The cartoon figure was used by U.S. police in spreading crime awareness, and is perhaps best known for its tagline, take a bite out of crime. Guess the race of McGruff the Crime Dog actor John Morales.
Man, that nigga's mine. He's Morales.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that's a Latino descent, man.
All right, let's see what.
I mean, what's his first name?
John.
God damn it, no clue. All right, there's a jolly. You know what? Yeah, that's Latino. I think that's Latino. Latino, man.
Let's check the chat room and see what they got to say. Hola, chat room. Not so ironically, he liked it in McRuff. White.
Oh,
got, McRuff.
got mistaken for a...
I love a good part.
Got mistaken for a chihuahua. McGruff was secretly sniffing for a hole in the border to climb through. Goddamn, HC. White, man. He hanging with El Chapo.
El Chapo!
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 6 to 12 years in jail, Latin. Trump would not approve Latino. He was bitter because he wanted McGruff to be a chihuahua. The correct answer is, and Mike Brown, and most of you guys got it, he's Latino. Somebody did say white. He's definitely not white. Yeah.
Mike, your racism is on fleek.
Yeah, on fleek.
I try to go by the names, but also the shit they've done.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Because I'm not like Raven Simone out here. I'm not going to judge you too much by your name. Like what you've done, all of that. You know, my I like what you did too with the racism on fleek. They ain't gonna see that till episode 5. But you can watch that trailer. You go catch it. I'll go catch it.
Judge tells 18-year-old he will be somebody's bitch and raped every day in jail.
Oh!
A judge is under fire after it was reported she told an 18-year-old boy that he would probably be raped every day if he went to jail. Isaiah Gay was standing trial. Oh, that's unfortunate. Yeah,
that's thank you, officer. Thank you, officer, for keeping it real.
That is an unfortunate name. He was standing trial for burglary. Then when Judge Christina Argers, I think that's how you pronounce that, mm-hmm. Argers, charged him with a horrific depiction, gave him a horrific depiction of the type of violence and abuse he would suffer if she decided to send him to prison. When Gay told the judge, I did the things I did all because I was impulsive. I was just being young and dumb. She responded by saying that he was weak and that he would be quickly made into someone's bitch. The judge told him, do you know what would happen to a young, dumb person in prison? Do you have any idea what would happen to you? You would probably be raped every day, for one. And I hate to sound like that, you know, rude, but that's exactly what would happen to you. Again, he's going to be somebody's, I hate to use the word, bitch. But that's exactly what he's going to be. So I'm willing to put him on probation. So she gave him probation because he was going to be raped.
She ain't shit because he weak.
She was like, you, listen, boy, you are what we like to call rape bait. Okay. Now, it's just a fact of life. You gonna get raped. We are not gonna do a good job protecting you in prison. Your rights will be violated.
Yes, they will.
So I'm gonna just give you probation. Okay. So guess the race of the judge, Christina Argers, who said that he was gonna get raped.
Oh man. Whatever race this judge is, she the realest nigga alive, B. She the realest. I don't care what she's... I wish I could say the race was a nigga, because it's just the realest nigga alive. Because she said, I'm not going... I could throw you in jail, but you're going to be raped anyway. So we're just going to probation you. I want to say that she's mixed. I want to say that her mother is white. I want to say her father is black. I think that the father's always kept it real with his daughter, and the mother was like, you know what, I need you to be in school, you know, to become a judge or whatever. And Christina was like, okay, I'm gonna do this, mom, but I'm gonna be real with everybody while they on the stand. I'll be real with them. So I'm gonna say a mixture. Can I do that?
No.
I think
that is hand your bets. Pick one. Even if you mix, you black. So that would count as black.
Okay. You know what? But this other thing. But also to be like, you know, you're going to get, I'm going to go white.
All right, going white. Let's check the chat room. Judge Lynn Tola from Divorce Court, black. Jasmine W says black. Judge Judy Protege, white. Judge Maybelline, black. Judge Maybelline!
Yeah, black. Well played.
Woo, Judge Maybelline.
Ooh, old school. Some of y'all old too.
When she asked if he had ever been comforted by big bosoms, sister. Black, I feel like that was someone's mama talking to them about doing better. She got that jail fantasy from watching Blacks on Blondes 2 White. The rules are one drop of black makes your blood makes you black. Black, the correct answer is, and Mike Brown, you scored a perfect score. She's white.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a monster, bitch.
That was a tough one. Everybody was going against you. Yeah, so boo to everybody else. You killed it, bro.
But this thing, hold on real quick. You think a black woman is going to be like, you know what? Is she going to really be worried for the person who's guilty and be like, you know what? I know you did this shit, so I'm going to just put you on probation because I care about you?
Right, yeah.
I'm like, no, you're going to go get your punishment.
Mm-hmm.
The realness of what he said, I felt was like a black thing. The realness of like, yo, you gonna get raped, right?
Right.
But the fact that she put him on probation, I was like, nah, I see a white judge kind of doing that.
Yeah, and the article I read, I mean, they make a good point that you probably shouldn't be threatening people with rape,
yeah,
because it's not good. But you know, she's trying to scare him straight.
And also, yeah. I know I really shouldn't be saying this. You know, I'm sorry for saying this, but. Life would be like, nigga, you gonna get butt fucked every day with your little ass.
She was like,
whooping. I should, you know what I mean? But
she was like, I don't mean to be rude, but you gonna be somebody's bitch. Like that, Like, I don't know what kid she was talking to, like, but, you know, it's like I said, it's definitely fucked up, because if you switch genders on that shit, woo, you'll lose your seat, dog.
Yes, you would.
Some dude was sitting there talking to a woman like, you gonna get raped, okay? First of all, that's number one. Number two, you gonna be somebody bitch, all right? That's why I'm giving you probation. So of course, the last thing we talk about every week, gotta promote this sword awareness. And he's dead. A Kozad man sentenced to prison for assault with a sword. A Kozad man was sentenced to prison for assault another man with a sword. Fernando V. Garcia, 40 years old, received 1 of 2 years in prison for one count of second degree assault and 1 to 2 years for one count of possession of a deadly weapon by a prohibited person. He was sentenced Monday in Dawson County District Court. On July 3rd, the police department responded to a report of an assault with weapons on Potter Street in Cozad. Garcia was armed with a sword and the victim was armed with a baseball bat. Leonardo versus Casey Jones, baby.
Right.
The victim suffered a deep cut on his left hand. He told police that he and Garcia had argued. Garcia was later found in his home where a sword and a baseball bat were allegedly found under a bed. Charges against him were reduced in exchange for a guilty plea. He received credit for the 115 days in jail. He will serve the sentences at the same time. So be careful out there. You're arguing with people that pull out a sword and a baseball bat. Next thing you know, you're in a fucking Ninja Turtle sewer fighting shit.
And you didn't know.
Yeah, so be careful hanging out with people with swords. Mike, man, thank you so much for doing the show, bro.
Mm-hmm. Hey, thank you. Thank you for having me on. I love you guys, man. Y'all the best in the world. And shout out to the chat because y'all hilarious, man.
Yeah, man. Make sure y'all see him with your ignorant asses from the chat room and the fans.
Yeah.
Go out and see them. And also, you know, Comedy Outliers does a show. Locally in New York, so you know you want to see some funny comedy, make sure you keep up with that, listen to their podcast. And if you go watch Mike's web series, leave it a thumbs up, give it a comment, share it with some people, man. Let's see if we can
join
as many eyes as possible, man, because the other thing that people don't talk about is whenever in comedy, when you are promoting something, a lot of times they will go look at that stuff and be like, oh, okay, like, oh,
people sharing,
he's got some pretty good traction, you know, a couple thousand people viewed this thing, like it's not just him by himself, like there's something about him that everybody likes. So make sure you guys do all that shit. All right, we'll be back.
Do that.
Yeah,
and you
follow me, anything, do all of that. I need all of it.
Yo Mike Brown on Twitter.
Yep. You got any shows coming up live that you're doing?
I got a few things coming up. My calendar's looking pretty good for November. But right now I would just say just follow me on Twitter and check out the series Can't Stop Won't Stop. If you ever go to my Twitter, you see it's like the first thing on there. Like it's, you can't get away from the web series. If you see me on anything, you can't get away from it. But definitely just check that out and come to a show. But definitely check out the web. I'm telling you, it's what the street's been missing. This is what y'all need. You didn't even know you missed it. This is what you need. So,
no doubt, man. Yeah. All right, man. So we'll be back tomorrow, Monday, and we'll let you guys know, you know, rest of the week and all this stuff. We're going to try to get JL Covan on for sure. I know that much.
Right.
All right, man. We'll talk to y'all then. Until Monday. Love you.
I love you, too. Mwah. Mwah.